Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Then press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Sure, it's Friday night, but that is no reason not to tune in to NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with Robert the Infidel Garding. Being around since 2007, we patriots have watched as the left and many on the right have done nothing to stop what is going on to destroy our great nation. Ideas abound with our society, but most are horrible at best. But there are good ideas out there if you know where to look. Join us every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for a dose of reality from behind the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. That's NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday evenings, where you can call in at 646-478-5284 and give your solutions to what is ailing this country.
There. Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah.
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family! Thanks! Ha! Now Elmo's a good person!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on! Forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine, just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world, or your money back.
It's your turn! Time to get the vaccine!
You want to.
Sorry, you have to!
No!
Do it!
No!
You have no choice!
No!
Now! Now! Or else!
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
Get the vaccine or die.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness will teach you everything you need to know about how to choose your pronouns,
how to blame everyone else for your problems,
how to show the world just how wonderful you are,
the art of virtue signaling,
the basis of race, gender, and intersectionality,
the truth about American history,
problematic books,
and how to tell if a baby is racist.
I do. I care about future generations. I care about things. I want to do a song right now. I actually wrote this in April, and I'm going to keep singing it for a while. Because it makes me feel good. And so let's do it.
Hi, everybody. Gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money? With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can. And who can tax the sunrise? Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government. Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good.
The
government takes everything we make to pay for all of their solutions, like healthcare, climate change, pollution. Just throw away the Constitution. I wrote that, thank you. Who can give a bailout?
Tell us to behave,
and make the founding fathers roll over in their grave. I don't care if you hate me, I'm gonna sing it anyway.
The government,
oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause it mix it up with lies and make it all yummy, 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 yummy. The government takes everything we make. They're all power hungry and malicious. Soon we'll have to eat our dishes. Chicken, how's that taste, kids?
Delicious.
Who can be a failure?
Who can be a failure?
In so many ways. And instead of getting fired, hey, we'll give ourselves a raise. Kentucky, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, the government can.
And the government can go.
I did the choreography myself.
And your Uncle Sam can, cause he mixes it with lies to make himself look good. And I feel so good, cause the government says I should.
Yeah! Yeah!
All right. Hello, hello, everybody. You are tuned in to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Yan Show. Happy Sunday. I hope everybody is doing well. We have a lot of stuff that we can cover tonight. Of course, usually I bring up a lot of stuff and then we end up talking about whatever it is we end up talking about. But hey, I try, right? The title of tonight's show, Abandon the Tyrannical Lesser of Two Evils. We've been talking a lot about, like, the duopoly and how, you know, Democrats do this and Republicans do that. And with the fourth GOP debate that occurred this past week, I watched most of it. I think I watched about an hour and a half out of the 2 hours. And it was just a lot of mudslinging back and forth as usual, especially Vivek was definitely on fire. But I think, you know, his strategy might backfire a little bit because he spent more time attacking the other candidates than he did actually promoting policies that they're going to be. So, you know, the mudslinging is kind of fun and entertaining. And it's definitely well deserved in some cases, especially with Nikki and stuff. And Chris Christie is just a joke all the way around. Ron DeSantis seemed to pull himself together a bit and seemed a little bit stronger. But he still just, you know, he tries to portray himself as being like the strong leader, and yet he's still like, while he's up there and he's talking, he just kind of. It kind of seems like he's still kind of a wimp, you know? That's my impression anyway. I mean, you know, hopefully nobody gets all bent out of shape about that comment, but that's just my opinion on it. So, yeah, so a few of the things that I highlighted a couple days ago when I set up the show, but, of course, there's been other things that have transpired and more things than I could fit in the show description. So, by the way, my co-host, Valerie, she has to work tonight, so she isn't able to make it, so I am going solo again tonight. Hopefully, this will be the last of her being scheduled on a Sunday night to work, and she'll be able to join us again next week and more regularly after that. So, she will be missed tonight, but, you know, the show goes on, right? Economy. 1% of small businesses are foregoing Christmas bonuses. That's not a good sign. That means that small businesses are really struggling, right? You know, like we already knew that. But, you know, Biden keeps bragging about how great the economy is right now and how great of a job that he's done. Well, maybe for corporate America, maybe for big corporations, but when it comes to the middle class, when it comes to small businesses, for 42% of small businesses to go, well, you know, we can't afford to give Christmas bonuses this year. We're just barely hanging on. That's not really a good sign, especially going into the first quarter of next year. like 2024 is looking more and more like it's not going to be a good year economy-wise. I've been saying it before, I'll say it again, I think this bubble is going to burst, and things are going to get a bit ugly, 2024. Then in other news, Hunter Biden is charged with 9 federal tax crimes. I believe, what is it, like 2 of them are felonies and the rest are misdemeanor. And so we'll see what happens with that. And I do have a thing open if we want to get into it, an article that breaks down those charges. And, of course, on my Facebook page, Lucid Libertarian on Facebook, I posted a link to the actual indictment for anybody that wants to read it. Just go to my Facebook page, scroll a little bit, you should find it. Then also Senator Ron Johnson says banks filed at least 6 suspicious activity reports flagging Joe Biden's home address. And I'm trying to remember, I don't have the article up right now, but we're talking, you know, a couple million dollars of suspicious activity that were flagged. So, and I believe that it is tied to Hunter Biden's business dealings. And so I think the strategy here is, you know, the focus is on Hunter Biden right now, the investigation with him and charging him with whatever they can. And by doing so within the discovery process of the Hunter Biden case, you know, and crimes and all that, that it will open itself up to the links between Hunter and our poopy pants president. So that's kind of an interesting thing too. We can get into that. I can pull that article up if we want to talk about that in more detail. Then Democrat representative, Congress representative Ayanna Pressley introduced a bill to allow prisoners in prison to vote in federal elections. That's something that we can definitely discuss and have a little bit of a debate about. I personally do not feel that if you're in prison, you don't need to be able to vote. You know, like everything else, once you've done your time, you've satisfied your sentence, you know, you've done your probation, you've done all that kind of stuff. Once all that is said and done, then sure, restore the right to vote, you know, and that. Not while you're sitting there in prison, not while you're still being punished for whatever crime that you've done. So I can only guess what the strategy is on that with the Democrats. Of course, you know, they want to lower the voting age to 16. So, you know, apparently, according to the Democrats, you're old enough to vote at 16, but you are not old enough, of course, to serve in the military or open up your own bank account or anything like that. And that, you know, you can't do that till you're 18. And then, of course, you're not old enough or mature enough to purchase a firearm or purchase cigarettes or purchase legal marijuana or alcohol until you're 21. You know, so it's just, you know, I've talked about this before. It really gets on my nerves. It's like, you know, are they old enough or not? Are they mature enough or not? Are they adults or not? Like, let's stick with one age, you know. One age across the board. No, you're old enough for this, but not for that, you know, crap anymore. You know, if you're adult enough to vote, then you're adult enough to serve in the military. You're adult enough to have your own bank account. You're adult enough to buy alcohol. You're adult enough to buy cigarettes. You're adult enough to do all of the things that adults do. And so I just think that this is, you know, this is another one of those strategies to, you know, let's let prisoners vote. You know, I just don't see that going very well. So, but she did introduce the bill. See what happens with that. Hopefully it just sits there and doesn't have any movement and doesn't go anywhere, but still. Then also are the powers that be in Congress. Congress members plan to extend the domestic surveillance authority allowing law enforcement to spy on Americans without a warrant for another 4 months. So they're going to extend that. They don't want to give that up. And there's been a lot of stuff about, I talked in previous weeks about how anybody with that's associated with AT&T, if you get your services from them, your cell phone services from them, or your cell phone provider is using AT&T infrastructure, then enforcement can just ask for whatever they want, ask and they shall receive, according to AT&T, and they will, without a warrant, just, here you go, here's all the records you want. The law enforcement might be focusing on one person. They don't have to disclose exactly who they're focused on. They can go, okay, we want the phone records for the person we're interested in, all of their friends and family, all of the friends and family of the friends and the family, all of the friends and family of the friends and family and of the friends and family of those people, you know, so they can do it, you know, three or four times removed, get thousands of records. No questions asked, and you know this is tyranny at galore. And so, for Congress to, you know, we need to get over this. The American people being treated as if we're the enemy by our own government needs to stop. and having warrantless spying on Americans, that is how a government treats its own people as its enemy. Tyranny at its finest, right? In other news, I saw this article, the Mormon Church protects itself from child abuse claims. That's another article we could get into if we wanted to. So, of course, they're going to protect themselves. The U.S. skips congressional review to approve emergency sale of tank shells to Israel. So the Biden administration is getting around that to sell a whole bunch of tank shells to Israel to bypass Congress getting approval. So that's how our government works there as well. And former military members are still asking the Supreme Court to take up the Department of Defense's COVID-vax mandate, even though there isn't that requirement to get the COVID jab was rescinded a while ago. They still want it to, they still want the Supreme Court to rule on this because, number one, for the future, number two, for the damage done. I mean, these are former military members. You know, if they didn't comply, then, of course, that affects their service, that affects their record, that affects everything. You know, so they pay a price for not complying with that mandate. And, of course, now, if, I don't know if you saw it, too. I think I saw it about a week ago. Now, because our military recruitment numbers are so low, they are now going, hey, you know, all you military members that, you know, we gave the boot and we fired you and we let you go because you refused to get the jab. Well, we'd like you to come back now. We actually kind of need you. We shouldn't have kicked you out. They're regretting that move. So, you know, it's just ridiculousness galore. And, you know, so that's what I could fit in the show description. And then, of course, I can, there was a couple other things that I wanted to mention as well that I couldn't fit in it. I was really surprised to see this article yesterday. I'm like jaw-dropping on this one. The NRA, National Rifle Association, has a surprising defender in its free speech case before the Supreme Court. And you'll never guess who's defending them. Drum roll, please. The ACLU. Believe it or not, the ACLU is coming to the defense of the National Rifle Association. In a case of politics making strange bedfellows, the National Rifle Association will be represented by frequent nemesis, the American Civil Liberties Union, in an appeal before the U.S. Supreme Court. The New York-based Civil Liberties Group confirmed Saturday that it will provide legal representation for the gun rights group in its First Amendment case against New York's Department of Financial Services, even as it vigorously opposes nearly everything it stands for. Quote, we don't support the NRA's mission or its viewpoints on gun rights, and we don't agree with their goals, strategies, or tactics, the ACLU said in a statement posted on X, formerly Twitter. Quote, but we both know that government officials can't punish organizations because they disapprove of their views. The NRA, which reshared the ACLU's statement on its social media account, wrote in a follow-up post that it was proud to stand with the ACLU and others who recognize that regulatory authority cannot be used to silence political speech. The nation's highest court is set to hear arguments early next year in a case centered on comments former New York State Department of Financial Services Superintendent Maria Vullo made in the wake of the 2018 shooting of the at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. After 17 people were killed at the Parkland, Florida school, Vullo called on banks and insurance companies operating in New York to discontinue their association with gun-promoting groups In letters to companies and news releases, she urged operators to consider reputational risks from doing business with the NRA and other gun groups. The NRA sued Volo after multiple entities cut ties or decided not to do business with the Fairfax, Virginia-based organization. The federal appeals court in New York rejected the NRA's claims, saying Volo acted in good faith and within the bounds of her job. Spokesmen for the New York Financial Services Department didn't respond to any email seeking comment on Saturday, but the ACLU, in additional comments posted on X, argued that if the Supreme Court doesn't intervene, it could create a dangerous playbook for regulatory agencies across the country to blacklist or punish viewpoint-based organizations, including abortion rights groups, environmental groups, ELU itself. Quote, the questions at the core of this case are about the First Amendment and the principled defense of civil liberties for all, including those with whom we agree on the Second Amendment, including with whom we disagree on with the Second Amendment, the ACL wrote. We won't let the rights of organizations to engage in political advocacy be trampled. The article goes on a little bit longer than that, but yeah, this one kind of shocked me, you guys. I really did not think that I would see this headline, the ACLU actually coming to the defense of the NRA. But hey, you know, stranger things happen, right? So that was one that I wanted to bring up as well. And it looks like we got a couple people in the switchboard raising their hand. I recognize Mike. Mike's raising his hand. And I think the second person might be Boyd, perhaps. Let me see here. Yeah, that'd be Boyd. Okay. So before I bring you two in, I just wanted to bring up perhaps a couple other things. Boyd in the chat says this is a case the ACLU wants to lose. Well, with the last part of what they said, I think that, you know, that gives us a glimpse as to why the ACLU is taking this on, is because, you know, if they do it with gun rights groups, then it could, you know, they could get backlash themselves, and with other organizations that with causes that they do support. So maybe that's, you know, so that's the angle. So they have, you know, a bone in this game, even though that they're against NRA, you know. But hey, we'll take it. You know, the ACLU has, you know, they got some bucks in their pocket, right? So if they're willing to fork out some money and fork out some resources to get this to the Supreme Court and have this case be heard, then, hey, all the better, right? Not going to really worry about that. And let's see. Then another couple of articles that I had open that I wanted to mention. And now, of course, I'm struggling to find it. In Oregon news, 5 days ago, Oregon Measure 114 ruling, that's the gun control measure that we've talked a lot about on this show. Oregon Measure 114, in a nutshell, was voted in. It's been on hold. Local judge, Harney County judge, ruled on it as the entirety of it being unconstitutional, for the permit to purchase part of it, for the magazine limitation of 10 rounds, all of that. So now the ruling is on hold pending a new hearing to challenge it. So Harney County, Oregon, a state court ruling against Oregon's gun control policy, Measure 114, is getting another hearing before a final ruling is issued in the matter to consider more arguments against the initial case finding. Harney County Circuit Court Judge Robert Roscio today, this was on the 5th, set a January 2nd, 2024 hearing about his pending ruling against Measure 114. He ruled November 21st that Oregon's gun control policy passed November 22 by referendum as Measure 114 violated the state's constitution. Rascio has ordered the parties in Joseph Arnold, Cliff Asmussen, Gun Owners of America, Inc., Gun Owners Foundation versus Ellen Rosenblum, Tina Kotek, Casey Cotting, to draft and review ruling for filing with the case's court record based on his conclusion that Measure 114 is unconstitutional for Oregon. Rascio had instructed the plaintiffs to prepare the judgment to submit to the defendants on or before December 1st, 2023 for review, advising the defendants to review the judgment and file any objections by December 8th, 2023. The defendants, Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum, Oregon Governor Tina Kotek, and Oregon State Police Administrator Casey Cotting, filed an objection late yesterday, that would have been the 4th, listing 7 rationale challenging the Harney County Circuit Court ruling against Measure 114, including 1, state defendants object to the court's finding that the Federal Bureau of Investigation will not conduct background checks. The FBI, by the way, did an about face and said, okay, yeah, we'll, you know, temporarily handle it in the middle of all this. So I think that that's the justification for number 1. Number 2, state defendants object to the court's finding that the parties agreed that Measure 114 delays the purchase of firearms for a minimum of 30 days, present public safety evidence. Number 4, state defendants object to the court's findings regarding ownership of firearms. Number 5, state defendants object to the court's finding that the media sensationalizes mass shootings. Number 6, state defendants object to the court's finding that almost all immigrants to the Oregon territory had firearms. Number 7, state defendants object to the court's finding that the magazine is a necessary component of a firearm. Today, this again, this is the 5th, Judge Rascio issued a letter in response to the objection stating it appears to the court that the defendants are requesting the court hearing prior to signaling the final order, which was scheduled for December 8th. The plaintiffs have the right to be heard on these objections prior to the final judgment being entered into the record. As a result, there will be delay in the court's final entry of judgment anticipated on December 8th based upon the defendant's objections to allow time for a hearing within 30 days of December 4th. The court will hold the hearing on January 2nd, 2024 from 9:30 until 12 p.m. So, and then, then the rest of it is just a paragraph that outlines, you know, what it does, which I already said. So that's kind of big news. So the saga of Oregon Measure 114 gun control still continues. And so I will definitely be anticipating January 2nd to see what transpires out of this. So in any case, so here I've been like rattling on all these things. There's another article before I bring people in that I wanted to bring up. So Ron Wyden, he is a senator here from Oregon. And I had mentioned before, like he's the one that is raising the alarm about, you know, the AT&T, warrantless call records being just handed out to law enforcement agencies. He's the one that raised the alarm on that. And so I gave him credit for that. And I remember saying at the time that, you know, a lot of times I disagree with this guy, and then a lot of times he, you know, does something right, which, you know, raising the alarm on that is something right. Well, now, here's an example of Ron Wyden doing something I do not agree with. Ron Wyden considers a Netflix tax. This is an article by Taxpayers Association of Oregon Foundation. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden has been working with Idaho Senator Mike Crapo, on creating a digital service tax, somewhat modeled after Europe. Within Europe, there are different models and proposals that target different digital services such as streaming, digital products, software, advertising, and collecting consumer information. This means Wyden's proposal could end up taxing Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Disney Plus for providing digital streaming services to customers. This would be an interesting tax question for how it applies to Amazon Prime, which is primarily a delivery discount service that offers free videos and movies as a secondary benefit to signing up for the service. Wyden's rush to consider a tax on Netflix and other streaming services comes at a time of declining streaming customers and slow ad sales. Many streaming services like Disney Plus have not even recorded a single year of profit since created. And, of course, Disney is going down even more, you know, especially after Elon Musk. Fuck Disney, right? So this is kind of a, you know, this is one of those examples where it's like, what is it with these Democrats? It's like, tax everything. There is nothing that these Democrats don't want to tax. Nothing. If they can tax it, they will tax it. So it's just, it absolutely blows my mind. Anyway, so with all that said, I know that I had some other stuff open that I could continue rattling on about, but I'm going to go ahead and bring Mike and Boyd into the conversation here. I appreciate you guys standing by and hanging out with your hand raised. How you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. I didn't raise my hand to get in right away or anything. I just raised my hand because I knew eventually I'd want to say something. Probably, you know, a nasty little thing, you know, something, you know, when we got off your topic stuff, I would probably say something. Oh, shoot.
Well, good to have you on. Mike must be trying to finish up his sandwich that he was eating.
I know there's another story out there that the Iowa Libertarian Party is kind of openly courting Ramaswamy to run as a libertarian. Lori Ann.
Well,
so we'll see.
Ramaswamy, I guess he used to be more libertarian leaning, but yeah. He's gone more of the GOP. He does try to, you know, continue adopting some libertarian philosophies, but I don't know. I'm not really too sure on this guy. It seems like. Whatever position he has now, is it going to stay the same? Is he going to about face? I don't know. You know, I just don't trust that he's going to stand his ground on certain things. I think that he might cave. You know what I mean? He's been wishy-washy with a story about his parents and they're immigrating here. When he was first campaigning, he was. The way he was stating it, it made it seem as though both of his parents got their citizenship here before he was born, or that both of them got, you know, took the test and all that. But then, late, you know, as time goes on, the story gets more clarified, which is, you know, no, only his mother took the test to get citizenship. His father did not. So when he was born here, they weren't citizens yet. That right there kind of makes me not trust him, because it's like, okay, why are you sinning this? Why weren't you forthright? Why were you phrasing things the way you were to create that kind of impression? And you know, he has to be made to clarify it, you know, when people call him out on it, kind of a thing. So when you come out of the gate like that, you know, that just kind of, that puts my, you know, skeptical radar turns that red light on more to to be like, okay, I really would to trust this guy. I really would, but, you know, I don't know.
My biggest thing with him is this. When he went to graduate school, guess which family gave him a grant to go to graduate school? Soros.
Yeah, he's tried to explain that away, you know.
I don't trust
him. You know, Soros money. I don't know. I'd like to see if Soros is continuing to, you know, give large donations to him. That would be interesting if we looked at, you know, donation disclosures to see if Soros, if he's continuing to take Soros money as far as campaign donations go. That would be interesting. So, yeah, I just, you know, yet it's kind of refreshing at the same time, like with the debates, kind of what I was saying, like, he's saying what everybody else is thinking, you know, and calling out these other candidates on their own corruption. And so we need somebody like that. But does that make him a good material for a president? You know, I think he's serving a purpose in these debates. You know what I mean? He's serving a much needed purpose where he's calling them all out. He's calling those rhinos out for who they are. And we absolutely need that, and I commend them for that. But that doesn't mean I really trust them as a potential president, at least not yet. You know, maybe, you know, in a few years, 4 years, 8 years or something, you know, keep an eye on this guy and see what happens when he's been around in these political circles a little bit longer.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, you got this guy who's just 35 years old, you know. Now, you know, granted, after, let's just say for the sake of argument, he does become, you know, Trump's running mate. Trump wins. I feel like whoever Trump's running mate is going to be the next president, probably after Trump. And by that time, if it's Ramaswamy, by that time he'd be, what, 39, 40 years old by that time? So he would have had experience as the vice president and all that stuff. But a lot of people think that Ramaswamy is kind of a Trojan horse for Soros to be able to get into the Republican Party.
Well, you know, they like to fund both sides, you know, especially if, you know, if you're in the Republican Party and you have potential to be a rhino, then, of course, Soros is going to throw some money your way. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's an interesting atmosphere. Sorry, and I'm a little bit distracted here, too. I miss having a co-host. I'm kind of fumbling back and forth here. But go ahead.
You're doing just fine.
This is your normal run-of-the-mill show. You went 35 minutes and told us a bunch of different things, and now we're talking about other things. So this is just your normal run-of-the-mill.
As usual. This
is the Terry's show. Right, boy?
As usual.
Yeah, I guess. I was slightly distracted.
Yeah,
there's like more stuff too. Gosh, you know, it's been a busy week. It usually is. It's been a busy week in the news, and I could just scroll. I guess I saw this article today. The new nickname for Biden is Genocide Joe. Pro-Palestinian protesters vandalized buildings in Los Angeles during Biden's visit. So that's fun stuff. And they're calling him Genocide Joe. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators spray-painted prominent buildings, businesses, churches, and apartment buildings in Los Angeles as they protested President Joe Biden's visit to a nearby home for a fundraiser. The protests Friday were focused on the Westwood neighborhood and included people wearing Cafe, I don't even know how to pronounce it, carrying Palestinian flags and signs calling Jews baby killers and referring to Biden as Genocide Joe. The president participated in an event Friday evening in Westwood for donors, including prominent Hollywood actors who are supporting his reelection, according to the LA Times. So that's a fun one. Genocide Joe. I still like, let's see, then another one that I saw, lots of stuff with the COVID stuff coming out. Former Biden COVID official says Wuhan lab leak may have caused the pandemic. Dr. Raj Punjabi, the former top White House National Security Council pandemic official, said that the COVID-19 may have originated in Wuhan, China, as a result of a lab leak. It is plausible that COVID originated in a lab accident in Wuhan, Punjabi said last week at an annual Forbes healthcare summit. We have got to do more to keep labs safe. So much for completely dismissing the lab leak theory. Remember when that was first coming out? Remember when COVID when we were first hearing about the Wuhan lab and we were first hearing about that, and it was like immediately everybody who's anybody in media had to completely squash the idea that it was a lab leak. No, it was from a bat. It was the bats, I tell you, at the market. That's the only possibility. Don't you dare talk about a lab leak. And here we are. People are finally, some of these people are finally starting to, get a spine and say what everybody already knows, right? One potential clip I could play on this was Rand Paul had an interview, and I haven't fully watched it. I started to watch some of it, but I did upload it as a potential clip, an interview with him, talking about the lab leak deception, about Fauci lying to Congress, things like that. So that's a potential clip that I might play. It's about 20 minutes. But we'll see how things go for tonight, right? Let's see. Then also here in Oregon News, 52 pounds of fentanyl powder, 8,000 pills, along with guns and several thousand dollars. Let me open it back up, see exactly how much it was. Here up in Multnomah County, which is the county that houses Portland, close the ad. Multnomah County deputies seized over 50 pounds of fentanyl powder at a northeast Portland home and 8,000 fentanyl pills and another pound of fentanyl in an Oregon City home in what sheriff's officials said Friday and in a woman Thursday on allegations of drug possession and drug trafficking after a month-long investigation led by the county's dangerous drugs team, which includes officers from state and federal agencies. Investigators found 52 pounds of powder in open cardboard boxes at the Portland home, enough for more than 11 million doses of fentanyl, sheriff's officials said in a statement. Investigators also seized over $30,000 in cash and multiple guns. It was the latest in a series of big fentanyl busts this year. Last month, officers uncovered 127 pounds of fentanyl in a man's car in Klamath County, that's southern Oregon, marking one of the largest fentanyl busts in Oregon history. So, I've talked before about how Oregon is kind of forgotten when it comes to human trafficking and also drug trafficking. Because you got to think about it when it's, we got the I-5 that goes all the way from the border down in Mexico all the way up to the border in Canada. And Oregon is kind of a nice middle ground, and you can, go east from there, right, and traffic this stuff all over the place. And so I think these things are all related. Like, I'm wondering how much of these fentanyl drug cartels are also dealing in human trafficking at the same time, like funding each other. I think they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, you know, if you're a cartel, why would you just, you know, stick to one thing? You know, why would you only focus on fentanyl when you can also have operations with human child trafficking?
Absolutely.
Diversify.
Yep. We didn't say that we never said that the cartels weren't stupid. We just said that they were evil and stuff. They're not stupid, and they don't have dementia like mashed potato brains does.
Potato brains. That's another clip I have too. Sky News yesterday put a video. Joe Biden stumbles over train line cost and worrying new gas. So there's the latest on that. Like, the guy just can't speak. But, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and play it real quick. It's only like 7 minutes. And I see Montana Joe is in the switchboard, but he hasn't raised his hand or anything. So, Montana Joe, I know that you don't like it when people play clips, but this is only 7 minutes long. I think you can endure it, right? So I'm going to go ahead and play it. Oh, yep, he hung up. I called him out. I'm going to go ahead and play it, and then I'm going to take the opportunity to, you know, step away from the laptop while this plays as well. Like I said, I miss my co-host. Like, I did my show without a co-host for quite a while, but it's already, I'm so used to having a co-host by my side to hold down the fort. Here I am. So anyway, I'm going to step away, but this is talking about Bubblehead Biden. Go ahead. What's up, Boyd?
When you step away and before you come back, make sure you bring enough back so you can do a refill.
Yeah, I need to get like a mini fridge or something next to me here. A mini fridge and a porta potty. I don't actually have to get up. Looks like we got Donnie C just joined the chat room too. Hey there, Donnie. Got Cinnamon in the chat room as well, and Ron Rack is in the chat room, as well as you and Mike are all in the chat room. Hello, everybody. So yeah, this is the latest on bumbling Joe Biden. I'm going to go ahead and play this, and we'll be right back.
Let's check in with the leader of the free world, President Joe Biden, who has had a rough week with his crack addict, whore enthusiast son Hunter, facing multiple indictments, but not for all the offences he should be charged with. The Biden administration's ongoing border crisis has intensified, with new monthly records being sent, millions crossing into the US illegally every single year. This week, another record smash with over 12,000 migrant encounters at the southern border on Tuesday. Yes, that's 12,000 in a single day. And that's just the ones that were encountered crossing illegally. But the president wasn't talking about the illegal immigration crisis yesterday or his degenerate son. He was in Nevada pledging billions for a high-speed train line, or as the president put it, how much?
Over $1.3 trillion.
What was that, Joe? What was that?
Over $1.3 trillion.
What's most worrying is that he was reading that from an auto cue, and we still got over $1.3 trillion. Yes, but pledging $3 billion for trains presented Biden with a perfect opportunity to again repeat one of his favorite verifiable lies. This one about an Amtrak conductor he knows congratulating him for traveling more than 1 million miles.
How many miles you use an aircraft for the United States Air Force as vice president? I just read in the paper, Joe, you traveled 1,200,000 miles in Air Force. He said, big, I won't quote him exactly. He said, big deal, Joey. He said, we just had a retirement dinner in Newark, New Jersey. He said, just had a retirement dinner. You know how many miles you've ridden? I said, no, Angie. He said, 1,327 miles. I don't hear any more about the Air Force.
Why does he hate doing this? It's one thing to lie about making money from your son's dodgy business dealings that essentially amounted to a pay-for-access scheme. But why does the president lie about things that have been debunked, even by the friendliest pro-Democrat media, and about issues of little consequence? Is he such a pathological liar that he can't help himself? If Joe's lips are moving, it's almost guaranteed that lies are spilling out. Because even CNN, the Democrats' unofficial propaganda arm, has called out the president over this oft-repeated lie. This fact check is from mid-2021. For the record, the duty refers to retired from Amtrak in 1993. None of that story ever happened. But it wasn't just tall tales about Amtrak conductors in his latest speech. The president also opined about law and order. Oh, this is
all these mass murders, not this weekend, but have been because people have picked up kids and grabbed stuff off of counters, off of the... Anyway, I don't want to get angry.
Oh, dear. And he also told us he likes to go skeet shooting.
Look, I own a couple of shotguns. I haven't shot them in a while because I usually just make target practice, skeet shooting.
So you haven't shot your guns for years. So what are you skeet shooting with, Joe? There are so many questions here. It's very perplexing. But like Australia, the biggest issue facing everyday Americans is the cost of living. And, oh, boy, the president had some good news to deliver on that front.
All told, we've created 14 million jobs since he took office, more than any president has created in all 4 years of a term. Wages are up more than inflation.
Oh, he stuck to the auto cue there wisely, but the auto cue was also full of lies. Sure, there's been millions of jobs added, but most of those jobs aren't new. They're simply workers returning to the jobs they were forced to leave due to the pandemic response. Taking credit for that is a bit rich. And as for his claim there that wage growth is higher than inflation, pure malarkey. The Consumer Price Index shows that prices have soared by more than 17% since President Joe Biden took office, or as Joe would put it,
over $1,300,000,000,000.
Now for my final reality check of 2023, I want to deliver this message to young women everywhere in the hopes that they open their eyes and realize just how little the modern feminist movement cares about them. We've seen it time and time again from modern feminists siding with trans activists over females fighting to protect sex-based rights and spaces, to their total abandonment of women living under Islam. It's sadly undeniable that instead of focusing on what is in the best interests of women, modern feminism has become a political movement that merely uses women to push a hard left agenda. Issues of great importance are ignored if politically inconvenient, while trivial issues are inflated and inflamed. We saw that in Australia when feminists even criticised ex-PM Tony Abbott's paid parental leave proposal. I mean, that was undoubtedly good for women, especially professional women wanting to start families. But then we saw those same feminists hyperventilating with rage over Tony Abbott's supposed misogyny because he looked at his watch and there was all that time that he winked during a radio interview. But I've got to say, even I, who has long called out the hypocrisy and intellectual dishonesty of these pretenders, even I've been shocked by the callousness with which so many feminists and their beta male allies are treating the events of October 7, namely the mass rape, torture and slaughter of Israeli women. And we'll have more on that in the next hour with some examples of high-profile feminists ignoring the plight of these brutalised women. The same feminists who see rape culture everywhere ignore it where it actually exists, just like they ignored the rape culture behind the Rotherham child sex abuse scandal. They ignore mass suffering because in their warped worldview, the perpetrators are the oppressed and victims are the oppressors. That's their neo-Marxist ideology, and sadly, it trumps any concern they have for women.
All right, there we have it. And I'm trying to dig in. I'm scrolling to see to find that clip for Mr. Clark in the chat room so I can dump that into the chat. And I might have to go to my history instead. Ah, oh, there it is. Okay, good. Yeah, because they post a lot of stuff, so you got to scroll. Even if it's only a day old, you got to scroll a lot to find it. So, okay, I did just find it. Anyway, thanks for bearing with me. I am back at my seat here in front of my laptop. Thanks for bearing with me while I played that clip. And so, yeah, you just kind of got to find it funny with that, you know, what did he say? Like 3 billion, million, trillion, million. I don't know. It's one of those Indians, you know. One of them, all of them, doesn't matter. We're going to give you 300 million, trillion, billion, blah. Well, never mind.
Well, that's
you know,
what
he's
planning
talking
on.
About, I get
that's
angry. You know, he says he's getting angry whenever he, like, bumbles all over himself and he can't talk. And he's like, well, never mind. I get angry. That and these lies that he tells, like, you know, these stories that he makes up in his bumbling brain, and then he repeats them. It's like, you know, where are his handlers with all this? Like, you know, doesn't his handlers say, like, hey, quit telling the story here, you know? Everybody knows it's a lie. Everybody knows you're making this shit up.
Well, actually, if I was his handler, I'd say keep going, Joe. It's about the only time you make any sense when he makes up his own stories.
Well, yeah, that too, but I bet they probably told him to not do that, and his brain short-circuiting, and he just keeps doing it. And they keep telling him not to do it, and he keeps doing it, you know. It is what it is. We know what's going on with that. We know that his brain is, like our friend Gunslinger said, it's a short circuit, all right? That's how this is with the dementia and the Alzheimer's and stuff. It's a short circuit. The problem is this guy has a damn nuclear button, right? So if he's got that going on and he's still saying stuff like this, well, then there you go.
Yeah, I had to laugh like a lefty. I forget who it was, but it was a lefty that I think it was on one of our other shows that was saying, you know, how Joe Biden is a statesman. He's more of a statesman than Trump. We need him. We need a statesman like Joe Biden. It's like, are you kidding me? You know? Come on now.
Wait,
my goodness. We got Joe Gibson raising his hand, so I'm going to go ahead and bring on Mr. Gibson.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm late, but, you know, better late than never, I guess.
Hey, no worries. No worries. You're a busy guy now. You're trying to campaign. You're trying to do your stuff. So, yeah, better late than never, of course. But you're busy now. You've got more on your plate.
Yeah, busy trying to stay alive. But anyway, what are you guys talking about? I heard you talking about Joe Biden. So what are you talking about? His mental illnesses or what?
Yeah, that and his lines. Yeah, pretty much. You know, his latest gaffes and bumbling idiot that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wanting to go to war with Russia, you know? I mean, that he said that the other day, I think, something about going to war with Russia. So,
Nikki Haley wants that.
Biden should offer
the VP job to Nikki Haley because they seem to be so aligned when it comes to wanting war with everybody.
That's dangerous.
Hillary Clinton wanted to go to war with Russia.
Oh, yeah. Imagine how the world would have looked if she would have got elected instead of Trump and Putin would have tried going into Ukraine. We probably would be at war right now with Russia.
Yep.
That war would be all over.
Yeah, we'd all be dead. Nuclear war.
if we were lucky, we would all be dead.
Yeah. and then here's the deal. What's her name? Nikki Haley. One of her big donors is a billionaire from guess where? Ukraine.
Yep.
So
how about that?
Nah.
They say they got Biden though. They say they got him. He should be going to jail too.
Well, they do have him. There's this thing called the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Joe Biden is a foreign agent.
Well, his son Hunter definitely is.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sad. I mean, who can vote for
earlier,
this guy? Who can vote?
One of the stories that I saw about Biden, banks filed at least six reports flagging Joe Biden's home address, Senator says. Reports flagged $12 million in transactions tied to Hunter via Joe Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home address and raised concerns about money laundering, human trafficking, and human trafficking, Senator Ron Johnson told Just the News. Banks filed at least six reports in Delaware. According to the U.S. Senator who investigated the First Family's finances for years, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, the top Republican of the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, told Just the News on Thursday night that the suspicious activity reports chronicled about $12 million in transactions over several years, some of which passed through Joe Biden's Wilmington, Delaware home, where he was allowing his son. Johnson said Joe Biden would have almost certainly known his son was using his home as a business and banking address, if nothing else from postal mail arriving at the location. He added that the House impeachment investigators have plenty of grounds to question Joe Biden's complicity in his son's foreign dealings. The House is set to vote on formally authorizing an impeachment inquiry next week. I could go on, but I am all for it. Like, bring on this inquiry. Let the discovery happen. Subpoena everything and anything. The more they can tie Mr. Daddy to his son's illegal dealings, the better. And let's get all of the grounds necessary. Don't leave a stone unturned to find more and more reason and justification to get Joe Biden impeached. Do it. Absolutely do it. Let's uncover how corrupt this motherfucker really is.
But Lorianne, here's the thing with that. Right now, it looks like the impeachment may take place. Okay, I stress that may. But here's the deal. You gotta watch. If you haven't been paying attention to what McCarthy has been doing with this, he's the one that got George Santos expelled from Congress. He's walking away, and there was a leak out of his office that he's trying to get Matt Gaetz out of Congress, you know, with a bunch of scandalous crap that has already been proven not to be the case, but a bunch of scandalous crap, you know. And if he's successful at getting Matt Gaetz out of the Congress, then there goes the Republicans' majority. Mike Johnson's finally going to be the speaker, and it'll be what's-his-name, and all this stuff will be swept under the rug because they're not gonna impeach their own guy, the Democrats. So the impeachment may or may not take place. We'll see. We'll see what happens with this thing with Matt Gaetz. You know, we'll see.
I haven't been really paying attention too much on Matt Gaetz and all that. I know that he is a target. Same with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yep.
Both of them are very much advocates for impeaching Biden and calling him out. They're very vocal, and neither one of them back down to things, and so they're both very much hated on both sides of the aisle, I think, because they are who they are, because they're I'm going to go back to Vivek. They're kind of like Vivek, where, you know, Vivek isn't afraid to call out the bullshit, you know, and Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene are the same way. They'll call it out. They don't want to, you know, put like rainbow ribbons in their hair before they do it either. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that too, Lorianne. But the other thing is, both of those two people are Trump guys, are Trump people. And if you're a Trump person, you're automatically going to be hated. All right? Mike Johnson's a Trump person. He's hated as well. They don't like him. They don't like the fact that he's the Speaker of the House because I almost got a bias, but he's a Trump person. Anybody who says they're a Trump person is automatically that's the number one thing that you cannot be in the Congress or in anywhere in the government is being a Trump person. Because if you're a Trump person, that's like being Satan. That's like being in league with Satan. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you are a domestic terrorist. If you're a Trump supporter, or not even if you're a Trump supporter, if you're a libertarian like me, you know, oh my gosh. You actually believe in our Constitution? You actually want to abide by our Constitution? You actually want limited government? You actually want to audit and dismantle the Federal Reserve? You actually want to get rid of the Department of Education that has been dumbing down kids ever since its creation? We funnel more and more money to it, and yet our kids are getting dumber and dumber. You want to actually do that stuff? You're a domestic terrorist. I am a domestic terrorist, everybody, because I believe in this stuff. According to the left, according to all these agencies, I'm sure I'm being watched. I'm sure we all are, you know, all of us that are on the line right now, we're all being watched.
Hey, guys over at the NSA, thanks for dropping by and listening.
Absolutely. I hope everybody's doing well over there at the NSA and Homeland Security. You know, hope all is well.
Yeah. that was a big joke back in the day on Blog Talk Radio. Anytime we saw an unknown or, you know, not a block number, but an unknown person in the name was unknown in the chat room, oh, hi, Mr. NSA. Hello. You know, that was a big joke back then. And by the way, well, Joe, I don't know if he's there or not, but apparently Joe's beating Sarge to the mic. I don't see Sarge in the chat room, and I don't see, you know, I haven't heard you say Sarge's.
Yeah, there is a Skype number in the switchboard, but hasn't raised their hand, and so don't know who that person is. Could be Sarge, could be John Doe, or somebody else, who knows, but they just haven't raised their hand yet. Let's see. I wanted to bring this up in Oregon News, too. I think I had posted it in our group chat a couple days ago. This is from 4 days ago. But I wanted to bring this up because it's just like, it's so freaking crazy, you know, like keeping Oregon weird. Williams, Oregon, which is a rural eastern town here in Oregon, Williams resident who injured FBI agent with booby trap in 2018 is sentenced. A 72-year-old man who booby trapped his Southern Oregon home, injuring an FBI agent, was sentenced to more than 12 years in prison on Wednesday. Gregory Lee Rodbelt was sentenced to 150 months in federal prison and 3 years supervised release, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Oregon. Describing the Williams resident as fueled by anger and bitterness, Nathan J. Likvarvik, chief of the U.S. Attorney's Office, Eugene and Medford branch offices, called the sentence a just punishment for a serious crime. The traps were no joke, added Kiernan L. Ramsey, special agent in charge of the FBI Portland field office, in a press release. We are thankful that our agent and other law enforcement officers survived this vicious attempt, and we are thankful for our partners at the U.S. Attorney's Office for their diligent work in bringing justice in this case. According to court documents, Rodbelt had lost his home in a lawsuit after learning that someone had been appointed to take over and sell the property. He littered the house with improvised traps meant to harass or maim interlopers. On September 7, 2018, bomb technicians from the Oregon State Police and the FBI went to the property in order to clear it. They arrived to find a minivan blocking the main gate with steel animal traps affixed to the gatepost and under the van's hood. The property also featured homemade spike strips, which the court-appointed custodian of the property had run over previously. As the technician neared Rodbelt's former house, federal prosecutors recounted they found a hot tub that had been placed on its side and rigged to roll down on whoever opened the gate. So, they tipped this round hot tub on its side, and so if somebody opened the gate, then it would trigger it to roll down like fucking Indiana Jones. Windows of the house had been barred from the inside, and the only entrances to that home were security doors installed at the front and the rear. The front door had what appeared to be bullet holes, prosecutors said, created by shots fired from inside the house. In a garage, technicians found a rat trap that had been modified to accept a shotgun shell. While it was unloaded at the time, prosecutors said it had been connected to the main garage door so that it could be tripped when the door opened. The bomb technicians and two other law enforcement officers resorted to using an explosive charge to breach the home's front door. As they picked their way inside, they found a wheelchair sitting in the front entryway. When the wheelchair was bumped, prosecutor says, it triggered a homemade shotgun device that fired off a 410 shotgun shell. An FBI bomb technician was hit below the knee by the blast. Officers rendered first aid to the FBI tech and had taken him to the hospital. Rodbelt was found guilty earlier this year in federal court for assaulting a federal officer and using and discharging a firearm in relation to the crime evidence. This is like seeing Rambo, Indiana Jones, like freaking crazy shit that this guy did. Wow. Okay. But yeah, you know what? It's
crazy as it is, like, I don't know, mixed feelings about this one, guys, because, you know, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to take away his home. It's like, it's one of those things where you almost kind of got to applaud the guy, because it's like, you know, he's like, if you're going to come and take my home, man, you're going to have to fucking fight for it. You know, just, wow. You know, yeah. I had to bring this one up. It's just too good not to bring up. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it is too good not to bring up. I mean, look, he MacGyvered his home up, you know. That's what the guy did, you know. And, hey, if you're going to come into my home and try to take my money, take my home away from me, what do you think I'm going to do? If I have the ability to do something, what do you think I'm going to do? It's the only way the guy could fight it. Now, he's going to lose eventually, but it's the only way he can fight it at that point, you know?
Yeah, he's not going to make it easy for him. You know, so that's why I'm torn. It's like, was he justified in doing all this? You know, I guess that's the question. I don't, you know, I don't want to promote, like, you know, law enforcement being injured, shot at, or anything like that, you know, yet at the same time, a man's home is his castle, right? You know, and this guy was going to defend it. He wasn't going to give up easily. And so it's kind of in a weird way, you got to respect that level of dedication, I would say, to not back down easy, man. Not going down without a fight. I'm going to ramble my shit.
Yep. Yep. And that's the thing. He did what he had to do.
You know, if it was any one of us facing that same situation, especially if it's, you know, some bullshit and they want to take away your home, you know, what are we willing to do to fight back against it, kind of a thing? You know, I mean, I'm not, like I said, you know, just full disclosure, I'm not advocating this kind of thing. But I am also admitting that I can kind of understand where this guy's coming from. Put it that way.
Right. And that's the thing. And look, when you live in a place like you live on a bayou like the swamp people do, or you live out in the woods like Ron Reck does, you try to go to those people's lands, you go into that type of situation, you're not coming out. You know, simple as that. You're not coming out.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought you had to bring that one up. Gosh, yeah, so much. So much crap going on. Let's see. Going back, here's an article that's full of lies, and I think I posted it in our group chat as well on Facebook. Does COVID vaccine affect menstruation? A new BU study has answers. Do COVID vaccine menstruation cycles? Soon after shots first started getting into people's arms, anecdotal reports began to surface suggesting that the vaccines were changing people's periods. I love how they say people's periods. They don't say women's periods. They say people's periods. Sorry, folks, but people don't get periods. Women get period. Okay, let's clarify this. So you can just see in that opening sentence the
yes.
Many
yes.
said their cycles were arriving earlier and bringing heavier bleeding and greater pain after receiving a COVID vaccine. Now, a new Boston University School of Public Health-led study has found that vaccines are likely not to blame for any major changes to the menstrual cycle. Any changes people did notice were likely the result of their body's immune system responding to the vaccine. The findings were published in the medical journal Vaccine. We found that menstrual cycles immediately after vaccination were on average 1 day longer than pre-vaccination cycles, says Amelia Wesselink, SPH Research Assistant Professor of Epidemiology and lead author of the study. In other words, the onset of the next menstrual period after vaccination was slightly delayed. We also found that cycle length returned to normal within a few cycles. Other menstrual cycle characteristics, including cycle regularity, bleed length, bleed heaviness, and menstrual pain, were similar before and after vaccination. The researchers, get this, the researchers tracked 1,137 people. Again, people. 1,137 people between January 2021 and August 2022. All of those taking part identified, they identified as female. Okay, these people, they identified as female that were in the study, okay? And they were aged between 21 and 45, surveyed every 8 weeks for up to a year, answering questions about their vaccination status, as well as their menstrual cycle, its regularity, duration, bleed length, and heaviness and pain levels. Now, so we're supposed to base on, okay, 1,137 people that identify as female, that low of a number. But if you remember when the vaccines were first being rolled out, The VIRS database was blowing up. I mean, Facebook was blowing up. I remember being part of a group on Facebook of women that were reporting all kinds of screwed upness of their cycles. Thousands, I mean, VIRS, like thousands of women were reporting periods coming early, periods being heavier, cramps being heavier, you know, their cycle being all screwed up and taking a few months to get back to normal again after taking it, all this stuff. And so it's like, let's just forget about all those people, and we're going to trust this study on only 1,137 people that identify as female, and take that as the truth. Now, another bogus thing. I got to try to find the article, but they're trying to, and simultaneously there was another article that came out about how the COVID vaccine, the COVID shot helped prevent miscarriages. They were literally, this is another lie. They were saying that women that got COVID and weren't vaccinated were having higher rates of miscarriages instead of the other way around. And I was like, this is fucking bullshit, you know, like, no way. The women that have gotten, ever since the rollout of the clot shot, I mean, there have been huge spikes. Country after country after country ever since has reported unprecedented levels of miscarriages and stillbirths in women that got jabbed. And so the paid-for, corrupt, big pharma study that come out saying otherwise, based on a, you know, small number of people in comparison to what's being reported in VIRS databases and everything else, you know, you can tell who's funding those studies. They are flat out lying to you. You know, what? The COVID shot helped prevent miscarriages? I mean, that is such a blatant lie. You tell that to all the women who were coerced and convinced that they had to get COVID jabs to protect their unborn child. You know, you're pregnant, you're vulnerable, you better go get it. You tell all those women, that the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of women that lost their babies shortly afterward, you tell them that getting that freaking COVID jab, you know, ask them if they're thankful for it. Like, this is what pisses me off. Like, you know, we are not just talking about, you know, sudden death. Now, there's another article that I can get, a post on X that I can get into as well, talking about the sudden death syndrome of young adults, and it breaks down a lot of the statistics and stuff. And it's just like, all of that stuff doesn't get aired. Nobody's reporting on that. This is what makes me mad. But it's like, no, we are talking about, I get more passionate about it because we are talking about women that are pregnant that miscarry. It is the most devastating thing, or have a stillbirth. Okay, you go through the labor and everything, and yet, you know, the baby comes out and it's dead. You don't hear your baby cry, you know. You go through all that, and you never hear your baby cry because they were stillbirth. I mean, it's just the absolute devastation that this COVID jab has caused, and to blatantly lie, to blatantly fund these studies to contradict what we already know, infuriates me to no end. Okay, I'll shut up for a little bit and let other people talk.
One of my problems with that article you read, the first one, is couples, it said couples trying to conceive, right? Couples can't conceive, but women can. That's from all this stuff about people, right, brings me all the way back to the freaking judge that got appointed by mashed potato brains, that when asked what a woman is, he said, "I don't know." Ketanji Brown Jackson, what is a woman? I don't know. What is a woman? You know, that type of thing. I mean, that's what we're dealing with here. When they're trying to say, oh, men have periods, you know, which is inherently laughable.
In what alternate reality do men have periods? I mean, come on now.
Really, yeah. And by the way, if you haven't seen Lady Ballers from the Daily Wire, correct that. It is hilarious. But, yeah.
I've seen some previews on that, yeah, but I have not watched it.
Wait. Men can have periods. What am I missing? I'm a guy. I haven't had a period. What am I missing? Probably not the headaches, not the pain, not the bleeding, you know, not anything, any of that stuff, right? You know, so, you know, it is what it is. I mean, really? Men can have periods, really? Really? Show me.
Yeah, I saw a funny meme on Facebook showing for the last several decades how there has been no female testicular injuries up until 2022, when all of a sudden there's a spike in female testicular injuries. Are you a female? Yeah. What happened to you? My balls got injured. Somebody kicked me in the nuts. I was playing baseball, and baseball hit me in the nuts. I I got to admit, I have never, ever had an injury to my balls. I just haven't. I'm missing out. Am I missing out? I feel like I,
no.
I should have that experience at least once.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the old saying that men don't know pain until they give childbirth. Well, it's kind of like this. Okay. A woman can have a child and go through all that pain and then and be asked to go back through all that pain, you know, later, or will ask to get pregnant again so she can go back through all that pain. But you ask a guy who's been kicked in the nuts if he wants to get kicked in the nuts again, and he's going to tell you, fuck no. Now, there's your pain. Hello?
Right. Nothing. I mean,
I was struggling to find my phone there for a second.
Did that not get a giggle?
Where's my phone go?
Right. There's a theory that goes a little something like this. When God designed women, God made them able to forget the pain of childbirth and basically block it out. That's why women have always, you know, I want to have a baby. They have the baby. They go through all that pain. Then they go, oh, I want to have another baby, because they forget the pain, you know. Men will never forget.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, I don't understand how any woman could ever forget the pain of childbirth. I mean, I've never been through it, so I don't know. I think the only other woman that's even hanging out is Cinnamon to be able to say anything. I guess maybe next week I'll ask Valerie about that. Do you really forget the pain? Or is that just a myth? I mean, I guess we would have to, because if you actually remembered all of that pain, especially if you do natural and you don't get, you know, any pain relief or the spinal or anything to help alleviate it, then the human race might not exist, if that's
right.
The case. Let's see, and we do
With the way birth rates are down, though, nowadays, I mean, we know that the evilness that is these depop guys that want to get rid of the population, want to take our population down from billions to 500 million, you know, or whatever the number is. You know, they want to get rid of the population, and, you know, for us to keep the population up, you have to have like 2.5 to 3 children per couple. You know, if the couple decides to have children, you have to have at least 2.5 to 3 children per couple to keep the population up. Well, right now, apparently, from what I understand, Americans in general aren't having that many children in terms of...
Exactly.
It's not up at 3. It's not up at 2.5 to 3. It's down under 2, about 1.9. Now, granted, I don't know.
You know, last night we mentioned the movie Idiocracy. Hey, Joe Gibson, did you get to watch Idiocracy yet? Because Idiocracy exemplifies what we're talking about right now with, I don't want to spoil it for him, but it relates to the movie, put it that way, you know, with who's having children and who's not, put it that way. And so we get into that. The movie gets into that as well. It's like we are, you know, I've read many articles on how the population is declining. You know, all the people that are like, we're overpopulated, and they keep screaming that. And it seems like they scream that more and more as statistics are showing that population is decreasing, and, you know, not increasing. It's slowly decreasing because, you know, and it's not just here in America, you know, it's other, you know, mostly, you know, modern industrialized countries where the trend is for women to have less children. You know, people are having less children. Maybe they only have one. Maybe they have two. But then, you know, I would venture to guess that most couples nowadays that are within, you know, fertile ages are electing to have less and less children. A lot of them only one, you know, it's because of, you know, there's costs involved when you have to raise children. There's also logistics involved because economy-wise, it is becoming more and more rare for one income earner in the household to be able to pay all the bills, you know, and all that. So if you have both people working home, then that would lend itself to not being able to have as many children because who's going to take care of them when both parents are working, you know? So we have all these things stacked up. And so, you know, it kind of makes me chuckle when people scream about overpopulation. We're overpopulating the earth. And it's like, and why are you still screaming this when statistic after statistic shows that birth rates are down, you know, and they're steadily going down? Doesn't make any sense. And I do have Nathan raising his hand, so I'm going to go ahead and bring Nathan on into the conversation as well. So go ahead and I'll shut up for a few minutes.
Hey. Lori.
Hello, Nathan.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I don't have excuse me, I don't have any experiences like having babies, so I don't know what a woman goes through, but I also have noticed that whenever a woman goes through not just the time of carrying the baby, development of it, and then that ultimate going through the pain of giving birth, I think the joy of their baby makes it all worth it. Because they'll do it again. Many of them will do it again. And I've never heard a woman say, I'm not saying no one has ever said this, but I've never heard a woman say, because of the pain and what I went through, I will never have a baby, another baby. They'll do that choice because of maybe economic or whatever other reasons why. But I've never heard anyone decide not to have a baby because, or and I say anyone, any woman, that decided not to have a baby because of the pain. Anyway, like, you know, in the Bible it says Mary treasured all this stuff in her heart, you know. I think that's something women have in their experience that most men don't. We'll think about it and go, wow, that's cool. But a woman thinks about it at a different level, and I'm just making my guesses here. I'm not an expert. But listen, on all this other stuff, like all the people that had their periods affected, what they're doing, that psychological warfare, you know, there's a certain group of people coming up, younger people, that accept this language, and they'll, whether they agree with it or not, they just kind of roll their eyes and they don't spend any time challenging it. And this is how they get the next generation, you know. We've seen this over the years. The whole, you know, no God thing started because some guy wrote a book back in 1849, and it wasn't the theologians or the Christians of that day challenged his thinking on evolution, the origins of you know, of how things came into being. And then the next generation through the education system comes up and they accept it a lot easier. And that's how we keep moving. One of my biggest examples of this is the greatest generation, children raised in the Great Depression. They had a hard life. If they made any money doing anything, any chore for somebody, they came home and gave the money to their parents because life was hard. Today we would take that money and go buy some candy or something, you know, or a toy. These kids equipped these kids to go off and beat the worst enemy in human history in 3.5 years, came back and they were building the cities, building the highways. I mean, America was moving forward, and their children in the education system growing up, and they went to church, they were taught all the right things that their parents were taught. But when they went off to college in the 60s, after a couple lectures and a flip of the switch, they hit the streets opposing everything that their parents stood for and raised them on. And it's like the key was, is while the adults are moving forward, somebody over here is getting their kids' minds. And that's where we're at now, that you can't disagree that a man can't have a baby or that a woman can outrun a man, you know, that kind of crap. So psychological warfare.
I like that you reiterated about the menstrual period thing, because it's like, you know, to my knowledge, you know, things affect, you know, women's cycles, of course, you know, stress and other factors. But when seeing the almost immediate spike in all of these reports of women's cycles being affected after getting the jab, it makes me wonder, like, you know, we're normalizing it. You know, they're normalizing getting a vaccine and having it screw up your cycle. You know what I mean? Like, that's the negative about it. Like, what other vaccine, you know, please tell me, what other vaccine in the history of vaccines have caused such an immediate and numerous spike of their cycles being all messed up? Is there
and
any?
And then the children.
Is there any? I'd really like to know. Is there any? Does it really, you know, has the flu shot ever affected women's cycles like this before? Has polio, has any other, you know, anything? I mean, and I remember, like, in those Facebook groups, you know, that I was in, and I'm reading all these, you know, people, all these women reporting this, you know, that Facebook group was shut down pretty damn fast, too, of course, you know. And then you look at the VIRS database and stuff instead, and even that, you know, that they estimate that only maybe 1-2% is actually reported to the VIRS database. And so, you know, when you take all of those numbers into account, it is unprecedented, you know. And so I am against this normalization where, you know, you get a shot that's supposed to help you, you know, it's supposed to prevent you from getting sick, supposed to prevent the spread of it, like what it was touted at the beginning, you know, stop the spread, get vaccinated, you know, then you can't get it, you can't give it to other people, you know, all those lies that came out of Biden's mouth and Fauci's mouth and every media person's mouth and whose mouth and, you know, everybody's mouth that they were saying, and it's all lies. It's proven one after another is lies. And so why normalize this? You know, you can just see that there is some underhanded stuff going on. There is a reason why they're trying to normalize it.
Yeah, but whenever you got people constantly telling you, you know, what you're seeing, that's not really true. It's not related to this. You know, it's and you know what? Your mind, over a period of time, unless you consciously reject and say, show me the proof, you know, over a time, you either get complacent and it's just not something you roll your eyes when you hear it. But for a lot of people, they hear it. And you know, it's like, you know, I'm going to give you this shot, but you don't have to worry. You know, well, I just know this other guy that just died from it, you know, or he's got other complications. And that's not, you know, you believe it. You believe it, and then one day you look back on it, and you're still not believing what you were thinking. You're still believing that they're the professionals, and they're not. They're just being trained what to tell us. And that's why I always say, I had COVID in 19, and somebody told me this, and I agreed with it. Don't listen to a doctor. Listen to a nurse. Okay, listen to the nurses, because they have actually more practical application. And I was talking with a nurse, and she told me the only four things I needed to take. Don't take the shot. Don't take anything else. Quercetin, D, C, and what was that other stuff? Zinc, I believe it was. Take only that and just keep doing it. And it was funny. I've never had any back pains or anything, and my lower back started really hurting me. And I called this lady up, and she says, listen, you're not working. I bet you're not drinking any water, because I drink a lot of water every day. I drink more than a cow does, you know. And she goes, you're not drinking, and that's causing your sciatic nerve. And I'm like, I've heard people say sciatic nerves all my life, never knew what they were saying. And then I worked with a guy after that got hit with shrapnel in Iraq. And he was always walking real slow, holding his back. And I told him that thing. And he said, well, I moved too slow to drink a lot of water at work. But he went home, and he said he was drinking a lot of that week, and his back started feeling better. And I was like, you know, there it is. But the doctor's telling me you need to take this shot. I said, no, you need to jump in a lake and take that shot before you jump in the lake, you know. So we need to be conscious and listen to people and weed through what's, because we got a generation that if the government says it, then, you know, it must be right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
And you know what they say?
Well,
we got to be conscious, man.
I went in to see my doc. And I think I kind of disappointed him, because while I was there, I just wanted to get a checkup. I hadn't seen him for over a year. So, and I had a lot of other things that happened during that time. While I was there, he asked me if I wanted to get the flu shot and the COVID shot. And I looked at him and I said, no. And no, says, I ain't taking no more of those COVID shots. And every time I take a flu shot, I get the flu. If I don't take a flu shot, I don't get the flu. So I'm not taking the flu shot.
Yes.
And he just kind of looked at me kind of disappointed.
Well, you know what? My example of this is I can tell you the time I got vaccinated for nicotine. When I was like about 12 years old, we snuck some cigarettes from our parents, went out in the woods and lit it up. I got dizzy, started sweating, and then after that I needed a cigarette, you know.
Yep.
And I started smoking, and it took me to right up to around 20, close to 21, before I was able to finally shake it. But what happened was I got vaccinated. It is now a part of my system. It's like sugar, it's like protein, it's like wheat, it's like everything that my body needs, you know, it craves it. We gotta go back to the way it was back at another time and think through some of the way they did it back then, you know.
Well,
everything that comes along isn't right.
I remember when I was growing up, okay? And, you know, bunch of kids, we all hung out together and everything, you know, played in the neighborhood and everything. Well, somebody gets sick, if, you know, like somebody got chicken pox, okay? First thing mom would do is say, you need to go over and play with him. You know, that way I got sick and I got the chicken pox. You know, that type of thing. Moms used to send all their kids over to the sick kids' home just so that they would get immune to it, you know, to the disease. And we'd all, it'd be funny because we were all sick, you know, just all around the same time, you know?
Yep.
And that was because moms made us get sick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And if you're a parent now and you try to do that, then, you know, the neighbors and the Child Protective Services will come and take your fucking kids away. You're endangering the health of your child by doing that. Well, you must take the children away, you know, deliberately getting your children sick. That's, you know, unconscionable. But it's like, no, that's kind of, you know, how our immune system works. You know, kids have the best immune systems usually, you know, they're geared for that, you know, they're kids.
Yeah.
Why do you think babies put every damn thing they come across into their mouth? If they can get it in their hands, they will put it in their mouth. Why do you think that is? It's instinctual. It's not because they're hungry. It's because they're exposing themselves to all of, you know, different bacteria, everything, you know, anything and everything that they can get in their mouth, they will put in their mouth. It's instinctual, and it's there for a reason, because they're building up their immune system, even as toddlers.
Yeah, and the kid,
you know, but,
and the kids that didn't go out and play in the dirt, they were anemic, you know, weak blood. So we got to be a part of our environment to some degree, you know.
Yeah.
I'm bringing Pianchi on in. Pianchi's been sitting back, but I just saw that he had his hand raised in the queue. So, Pianchi, welcome on in. Thanks for joining the show tonight.
Now, we're all going to get straightened out.
I ain't never had no period that I know of. But I tell you what I used to do to my daughter, I used to take her by arm and leg and go around in circles and toss her over into a puddle of mud and water.
There you go.
And you remember when they had the shortage on baby formula, and parents started making their own formula with Cairo syrup, and you know what our grandmothers used to do? You had the reports coming out and said that we were poisoning our kids.
You know, my dad told me this, and I don't remember my experience with it, but I seen my little baby sister, because we had a sister that was born when I was 11 and a half. My mama did this. She would chew up the food and then take it and put it in the baby's mouth, and the baby, and she came from that day that they didn't have bottles. They didn't have mix this up and feed them this. And my dad said that was a crazy thing, watching my mom chew up food and then feed it to the baby. It was like, there you go. That was surviving.
Well, that's how nature does it to begin with. Look at the birds.
Yeah.
Hey,
yes.
Crap, you guys.
Yes.
I just looked at the switchboard, and we only have about 45 seconds left of the live broadcast. This has gone by really fast. I will interrupt for just a quick second. You only have about 40 seconds to call in. 563-999-3698. Call in now so you can stay with us as we go into overtime. And then real quick, I'll try to do a rundown promoting other shows here. Monday, American Statesman, Sally's show. That is 7 p.m. here on Blog Talk Eastern Time. Then Tuesday, Joe Gibson has his show, also 7 p.m. typically on Tuesday nights. And then Fridays is Conservative Nation Media with Robert. I co-host. That is 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then we have Donnie's C Show, Beyond the Mainstream. That is also 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Jim Clark, he has his show, usually show, tune for his show. Ron Reck, Crazy Nation Radio. usually a late night show as well. He might even put in a show for, you know, maybe in a half an hour or something. I'm not sure. But he typically puts on a late night show as well, and always a good time with him. So, you know, stay tuned for all of these awesome blog talk shows with more conservative voices. And, of course, Ron Reck has a lot of entertainment value with his Crazy Nation Radio. He always plays, like, some good songs, and you can feel free to, like, swear as much as you want and stuff. Anyway, we are now into overtime, so if you did not call in, your audio is probably going to drop pretty soon, but anybody that's in the switchboard, we got two Skype numbers and Cinnamon that are kicking back listening. Feel free to press one at any time, and I will bring you on into the conversation. All right, continue, Pianchi and everybody else.
Hold on a minute before he continues. Let me
get in a show here. Okay. Since we are on the topic of being healthy and all of that stuff, there's a show that comes on Wednesday night on Spreaker, and it's apolitical. It's no political talk or anything like that. It's a nice, relaxing show. It's all health-related stuff, and it comes on Spreaker. Let's see, what time does he come on here? Comes on here at 4 o'clock my time, so that'd be 7 Central Time, I believe 8 Eastern in the evening, and it's called Simone Nicole. So, okay. You know, if you want to take a evening off from politics and learn to get healthy shit and watch the antics in the chat room, and when I say antics, I mean antics, you should try and show up for that.
Yeah. Also, guys, Laurianne, I don't know if you can do this now that your switchboard is, I guess your switchboard is done. But I put a clip into
the
chat.
The switchboard is still live. Yeah, we're in the bonus hour, so I haven't lost the switchboard.
I put a clip. We were talking about vaccines and inoculations. I put a clip into the chat room that it's a George Carlin thing about inoculations and shots and stuff.
I'm going to go ahead and play it. I saw that you put that in the chat, and I have already uploaded it. And so let's take a few minutes out for George Carlin, Germs and an Immune System, if you've never heard it. Some of you have heard it before, I'm sure, but if you haven't, we're going to play it anyway. So thank you for that, Mike. That's a good segue to what we were talking about with our immune systems and getting dirty in the mud and stuff when we were kids and all that kind of stuff. So here we go, George Carlin, Germs and Immune System.
It's just one more way of reducing your liberty and reminding you that they can fuck with you anytime they want, as long as you put up with it. As long as you put up with it. Which means, of course, anytime they want. Because that's what Americans do now. They're always willing to trade away a little of their freedom in exchange for the feeling, the illusion of security. What we have now is a completely neurotic population obsessed with security and safety and crime and drugs and cleanliness and hygiene and germs. There's another thing. Germs. Where did this sudden fear of germs come from? In this country. Have you noticed this? The media constantly running stories about all the latest infections, salmonella, E. coli, hantavirus, bird flu, and Americans, they panic easily, so now everybody's running around scrubbing this and spraying that and overcooking their food and repeatedly washing their hands, trying to avoid all contact with germs. It's ridiculous, and it goes to ridiculous lengths. In prisons, before they give you a lethal injection, they swab your arm with alcohol. It's true. Well, Well, they don't want you to get an infection. And you can see their point. Wouldn't want some guy to go to hell and be sick. It would take a lot of the sportsmanship out of the whole execution. Fear of germs. Why, these fucking pussies. You can't even get a decent hamburger anymore. They cook the shit out of everything now because everybody's afraid of food poisoning. Hey, where's your sense of adventure? Take a fucking chance, will you? You know how many people die in this country from food poisoning every year? 9,000. That's all. It's a minor risk. Take a fucking chance, bunch of goddamn pussies. Besides, what do you think you have an immune system for? It's for killing germs. But it needs practice. It needs germs to practice on. So listen. If you kill all the germs around you and live a completely sterile life, then when germs do come along, you're not going to be prepared. And never mind ordinary germs. What are you going to do when some super virus comes along that turns your vital organs into liquid shit? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get sick, you're going to die, and you're going to deserve it because you're fucking weak and you got a fucking weak immune system. Now, God damn it. Hey. All right. Let me tell you a true story about immunization, okay? When I was a little boy in New York City in the 1940s, we swam in the Hudson River, and it was filled with raw sewage, okay? We swam in raw sewage, you know, to cool off. And at that time, the big fear was polio. Thousands of kids died from polio every year. But you know something? In my neighborhood, no one ever got polio. No one, ever. You know why? Because we swam in raw sewage. It strengthened our immune systems. The polio never had a prayer. We were tempered in raw shit. So personally, I never take any special precautions against germs. I don't shy away from people who sneeze and cough. I don't wipe off the telephone. I don't cover the toilet seat. And if I drop food on the floor, I pick it up and eat it. I eat it. Yes, I do. Even if I'm at a sidewalk cafe in Calcutta, the poor section, on New Year's morning during a soccer riot. And you know something? In spite of all that so-called risky behavior, I never get infections. I don't get them. I don't get colds. I don't get flu. I don't get headaches. I don't get upset stomachs. And you know why? Because I got a good, strong immune system, and it gets a lot of practice. My immune system is equipped with the biological equivalent of fully automatic military assault rifles with night vision and laser scopes. And we have recently acquired phosphorus grenades, cluster bombs, and anti-personnel fragmentation mines. So, when my white blood cells are on patrol, reconnoitering my bloodstream, seeking out strangers and other undesirables, if they see any suspicious-looking germs of any kind, they don't fuck around. They whip out the weapons, they wax the motherfucker, and deposit the unlucky fellow directly into my colon. Into my colon. There's no nonsense. There's no Miranda warning. There's none of that three strikes and you're out shit. First defense, bam, into the colon you go. And speaking of my colon, I want you to know I don't automatically wash my hands every time I go to the bathroom, okay? Can you deal with that? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. You know when I wash my hands? When I shit on them. That's the only time. And you know how often that happens? Tops, 2-3 times a week. Tops. Maybe a little more frequently over the holidays, you know what I mean? And I'll tell you something else, my well-scrubbed friends. You don't always need a shower every day. Did you know that? It's overkill. Unless you work out or work outdoors or for some reason come in intimate contact with huge amounts of filth and garbage every day, you don't always need a shower. All you really need to do is to wash the four key areas. Armpits, asshole, crotch, and teeth. Got that? Armpits, asshole, crotch, and teeth. In fact, you can save yourself a whole lot of time if you simply use the same brush on all four areas. Damn it. you. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right.
Oh, that's too good. That's too good. I was just saying in the chat room, can you imagine if George Carlin was still alive, what he would be saying about the state of affairs right now? I mean, he would be all over all of this COVID crap. He would be all over all of this stuff. Like,
he'd be canceled.
You know something else?
Yeah.
Well, the left would try.
Go
ahead, Bianca.
My granddaddy used to get a teaspoon of sugar for us and put about 4, 5, or 6 drops of coal oil on it, and we take it. That cleaned the old system out. But, you know, he makes good sense because, you know, when I have an opportunity to be over in Africa, I first went to West Africa and I drank the water. It made me sick because I wasn't used to the bacteria. But I go out in the villages when I was in deep southern Ethiopia, and those kids would drink out of the same trough that the damn oxen and the cows drink out of. And I guess they all share immune systems. And he's right. I mean, the body has been around. If the human body didn't have an immune system, when these viruses come from outer space, we'd been gone a long time ago. That's the whole thing about natural selection. When one group came from another location and came in contact with another group, they got sick. Some died, but those that survived had a stronger immune system. That's how it works.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've talked about when I spent a lot of time on my grandpa's farm, right? And cleanliness was not really a thing at my grandparents' house. Let's put it that way. You know, they did some of the basics, but, you know, the farm was the farm, you know. And I remember when I was a kid, my sister and I in the springtime, with the rain and everything, my grandpa's tractor, you know, created a big, you know, mud pile, basically, churning up the soil. And I would take mud baths. And we swam in this little lake. You know, he had one of two accesses to this little lake on his property. And there's no, you know, water treatment there. We would swim in that lake, you know, with the fishies and the frogs and everything. So, of course, there's, you know, fish poop and frog poop and, you know, all that. And it, you know, it didn't freaking matter, lily pads and weeds and everything. And like I said, my grandparents' house was not the cleanest. You know, they didn't, you know, they weren't dusting every week and stuff like that. You know, they mopped the floor when it got particularly dirty, you know, grandpa dragging mud into the house or something. But that was about it, you know. That's basically the bare minimum. You know, the only thing that was really clean was, like, the dishes. And, you know, they didn't take showers every single day. You know, my grandparents, you know, took a shower or a bath, like, maybe once a week. And yet they were hardly ever sick. And I will attest that I know my immune system definitely got a workout every time I went to the farm, you know, between the animals, you know, the chickens and the cows. And I remember it was like, it wasn't anything that I was told to do, but one of the first things that I did, like the next day when I visited my grandparents' farm, was I'd clean out the stock tank. Because the stock tank for the cows, you know, frogs and mice and stuff would end up, you know, falling into it. And so, you know, I didn't wear gloves. I would go and clean out the, you know, dead carcasses of the mice and stuff like that out of the stock tank so that, you know, the cows weren't, you know, drinking and stuff. But, you know, I did it with my bare hands, you know, stuff like that. You know, handling snakes and stuff and all of that stuff. And you know, it's, you know, I still think to this day, you know, my immune system has never forgotten that experience because, you know, I rarely get food poisoning. You know, it is a very, very rare thing. It has to be really, really bad before I'll get food poisoning. And even then, it's not that bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, I throw up and I'm done, you know. Oh, my stomach feels sick. Oh, blah, throw it up. It's over with. It's not like, you know, 3 days of diarrhea or anything with me, you know. It's like it's just done and over with. You know, so there's something to be said about what y'all were talking about too, you know, taking mud baths, getting exposed to those germs. You know, it's like this paranoia about germs is, and I remember when the shot first came out for COVID, it's like, you know, it's such little risk, you know, it's such, you know, for most of us that are younger, or most of us that don't have, you know, already compromised immune systems and stuff, it's like, get sick, you know, because, you know, and I remember Dr. Reality, I did a lot with him, you know, with interviews and playing and stuff, talking about memory T cells, the long-term memory T cells that remember the stuff that you're exposed to. And this shot, the mRNA shot, by only producing the one spike protein, convincing everybody that that's the only thing to be concerned about. No, viruses have multiple spike proteins, you know, not just one. And so that's why people keep getting COVID over and over again, even though they got the shot. It's because the body doesn't recognize it. The memory T cells are not going to be able to identify it, you know, based on one spike protein. It takes the whole picture. It takes exposure to the whole thing and then fighting it and getting over it for your memory T cells to remember it. And, you know, it's backwards. So this mRNA and data is coming out more and more now how it actually is suppressing our immune systems. It's backfiring. It's making our immune systems dependent on getting the shot instead of being able to fight it on its own, you know, and that's on purpose, you know, because if you weaken it for one thing, if you weaken your immune system by taking these mRNA jabs, then it's going to weaken your immune system overall. It's going to undermine the whole process of how your body remembers the things that it gets exposed to. And those spike proteins are overwhelm the immune system so that that's the only thing it sees. You know, it can't see the forest through the trees anymore because it's being overwhelmed by this one spike protein that you're being given via the jab, right? And so it eventually undermines everything else. You know, so that's why people are getting sick with other stuff. You know, people are getting more prone to getting pneumonias and all these other things because the shot has absolutely undermined how their whole immune system works. And, you know, I know that once Spreaker converts the show over to YouTube, I'll probably get a ding on YouTube. They already did it once, but they agreed with me and reversed their decision. But just even talking about this, I know that, you know, the next thing I'm going to see is YouTube, you know, tip down your show because it violates our policy on misinformation regarding COVID. You know, I can just anticipate that that's going to happen already with what I'm saying. Anyway, go ahead. I'll shut up for a minute.
I want to throw something in here. I think, you know, it takes a lot of arrogance. I'm sure people do their research and they come up with their conclusions, but it's a lot of arrogance for you to decide this is what needs to be said, and if I say something different, you're going to shut me down. You know that, I tell you what, I see some common people down here going up to scholars and disagreeing with them on something, and they don't get heard, but they're right. You know, for somebody to decide it's misinformation, so we're going to shut you down, that is real dangerous.
But what it is it's, and I just came up with this, what I like to term as the arrogance of expertise, all right? The quote, experts say that this shot's going to work. The experts say you should wear a mask. The experts say you should social distance. The experts say, you know, well, the experts say at one point hydroxychloroquine was good, but then they changed their mind because they could no longer make money off of it. The drug companies can no longer make a huge profit off of it, so they changed their mind on that, you know. So,
and all you got to do is look at Congress. All you got to do is look at the Congress members and the Senate members and see what they're investing in as we go into this, and then you can see, okay, this is what it's about. This is where we're going to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Right.
You know
what?
When we were kids, we never had a fever.
I can remember.
We ever had a fever. You know what they used to do to cure that? We take a door key and put it on a string and put it around our neck where it hung down in our back. After a while, the fever would be gone.
Huh. That castor oil was a big one, wasn't it? I heard my mom and dad talking about that. If you got gunshot thrown off a horse or you flew, give them a spoonful of castor oil, and that would cause them to run to the outhouse. And the theory was, is, you know, when they get rid of everything in their colon, then it can't get into your system, and you clear up a lot faster.
You know what else?
They
we
said
had,
all diseases.
We had Father John's. Father John, we shook that bottle up and took a tablespoon of that. We were raring to go.
There's some truth to it.
And then of course, I mean, generally, I've seen all over the place that back in the day, as a punishment for something somebody did, oh, we're going to give you a spoonful of castor oil as a punishment, you know? And it's like, okay, whatever. It worked. You know, at times, but yeah, these so-called experts like Fauci and Birx and all these other guys, oh, the experts say this. I mean, how many different things have the experts said that years later they've changed their mind on? You know, eggs are good for you, eggs are bad for you, now eggs are good for you again. You know, all this stuff that they've said over and over and over again that is good or bad for you, they come back later on and change their mind on. Now, they're going to be stubborn on the clot shot because they want that power. That's all this is. They're thinking about doing the whole mandatory inoculations again, you know, for the clot shot, you know, and they have to know it's not going to happen, but that's what they're thinking about, right? Mandatory clot shots, you know. I got the first two. I made the decision not to get the booster shot. Simple as that. I'm not going. If they say you got to get the, I'll starve myself to death, or I'll do whatever I have to do not to take that clot shot, the booster shot, you know. Shouldn't have taken it in the first place, but it's my sister and her husband who are the doctors in the family, and they go, well, you got to do it. Now, I just didn't want to argue with it. Go ahead.
If I can put something in your chat room, it's a speech I heard at Hillsdale. No, I didn't. Wasn't there. I watched it online. But Hillsdale, and it's called Big Pharma and the Chinese. You know, somebody mentioned earlier the less people, the population in the world. I thought about that, and I just rethought of it. But I heard back in the early 80s, and I'm not a mathematician, and I don't know if this is true, but this guy said that a guy named Bill Gothard said that if you could take the population of the world and put them all in Jacksonville, Florida, which is the largest county in the state of Florida, if you put them in that county and give everyone 1.5 square feet to stand, you could put the whole entire population in the whole entire county. And then a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I heard a guy speaking on this issue of overpopulation, and he said if you took the entire population of the earth and brought them to Texas and gave them 1,100 square feet per person, you could fit them all into Texas. I don't know if there's any truth to that. I don't know. My mind isn't a mathematical to sort that out. But when I hear that, whether it's true or not, it's like, you know, we're overpopulated when you look at the major cities, not when you look try to drive across Texas, you know. And
Or even most of Oregon. You know, most of Oregon is unpopulated. You know, 55% of the state of Oregon is federal and state land, you know, protected forest and things like that. And then even outside of that, most of it is rural and very spread out. And so you're right. You know, it's like if you look at the population, well, it's all centered in, you know, Portland metro, Salem, Eugene, you know, Seaside on the coast, Bend. You know, so the population centers, you know, are concentrated, but then everywhere else, you know, there's a hell of a lot of open land out there that isn't populated, that has almost no people in it. And so you can't really say that it's overpopulated. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a farce.
And look, I know this isn't a religious show, but God several times in the Bible told the humans to be fruitful and multiply, meaning fill the world up, right? So, and this, what they're doing with this depopulation thing is apparently against the Bible, but I'm not going to get into that. But yeah, this is some evil shit that they want to do. I mean, basically that vaccine is a way to get is a means to an end. A lot of these things that they're doing are means to the end, right? You know, the end goal is to depopulate the world for some of these people.
Yeah, you know this guy Bill Gates. If you had somebody in your life down here that talked like him, somebody, a neighbor, a friend, or somebody at work would probably call and have this guy Baker acted into a mental institute. And yet he gets to stand up in front of people and talking about, well, you know, we need to get rid of a certain amount of people so this flu is actually going to be good. You know, it's like somebody just needs to spit on that guy.
Right. I mean
this is human beings. This is humans.
A billionaire gets you. You know?
Well,
people who have the money can get away with whatever they want. You know?
Why do you think we're on the verge of World War III?
Yeah.
So somebody wants some to depopulate the earth.
Yep.
Their COVID vaccine didn't work.
Nope.
So now
oh,
they're going to have
in
to
the
do
trial.
The, now they're going to
the trial
now they're gonna,
run.
Now they're going to have to do
this
it.
This was just a test.
Now they're going to have to do
it.
Now they're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
Yep. And what's bad about
more
this
than
thing
one
is
thing. And I do have a Skype caller raising their hand real quick. So I'm going to find out who we got. It's been might be John Doe. Been hanging out for a while. Let's find out who we got. If the switchboard decides to ever bring the person in that's just thinking about it.
I think
Stand
the switchboard actually did, and I think I'll bring John Doe on board now that he hears me.
Oh, there we go. Hey, Sarge, so you are in. Okay, finally, it's switchboard thought about it and decided to bring you on. Hey, Sarge, good to see you tonight.
Yeah, I'm coming late to the party, I know, and all that, and I'm not really, I certainly don't want to disrupt the flow of the conversation. But I was, you know, I don't watch Sean Hannity much, but I tuned in a little while ago to a replay of his show on YouTube, and because I want to see him interviewing Donald Trump. And as I was watching it, it finally came to me what is a great part, if not most of, the underlying reason for Trump derangement syndrome among people who hate him so much. And I think this is mainly due to the progressive left and those who really are anti-American and want to fundamentally transform it. As I watched him enter the venue that he was being interviewed in, I'm looking at him and saying, this guy is big, he's robust, he's brash, he's confident to the point of overconfidence. He's boastful, maybe a little bit arrogant, sure of himself, confident, believes that tomorrow is going to be a better day if only you work hard enough at it. He's optimistic, even though he understands the forces that are arrayed against him. And I'm saying to myself, this guy, a billionaire, oddly enough, who in many respects personifies what the United States is all about, in both the ideal, the historical understanding, and its aspiration. And I'm saying to myself, this is why they hate him so much, because they are transferring much of their hatred for the United States as it is, and as it traditionally has been, and they are looking at someone who more likely than not will restore much of that from the decline that it's in right now. And I think that only multiplies their hatred of the guy. As I listen to him speak, he's speaking about his plans for the country, how he thinks things could be made better. He's not hesitant. He's not indecisive. He's not pepperizing. He's not up there, well, on the other hand. No, he's going straight for it like a lady. Boom, do this, boom, we do that, boom, we do that, boom. See, he's not postmodern. There's nothing postmodern about Donald Trump. Nothing. And that's why they hate him. I began to realize that watching Sean Hannity, and I am telling you, there is really something unique about this guy. There really is. He ain't the most eloquent guy in the world. He's even a little bit vulgar. But you know what? He's quintessentially American and, more importantly, United States.
Okay. There's a term that was brought up, Sarge, that's been brought up for years called American exceptionalism. Exceptionalism. And that's Trump. That's the biggest reason why they hate him is make America great again. This has been his overriding theme. They don't want America to be great. They want America to be like every other country. You know?
No, because they think America became great by being evil. They see the history of the United States as one of unrequited, unremitting evil. And Donald Trump promises to restore the very things that they say are loathsome about the United States. Individuality, liberty, free speech, you know, all these things that they are constantly telling us are racist, oppressive, and hurtful. And Donald Trump is promising to restore all of that. They don't want that. They want us to be weak and temporizing. They don't want a Donald Trump's America. Donald Trump personifies all the things about America they're seeking to destroy. And it really can be. Watching him speak, there's such a contrast to the way he speaks and somebody like Obama or somebody like Biden or somebody like, I don't know, even Nikki Haley or any of these numbskulls out there. I mean, it's just like night and day in his vision and the way he proposes to go about it. There's no hesitation. There's no self-doubt. That's so quintessentially American. I don't know any other way to describe it. They hate
from
that.
The
they hate that in us and in this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Sergeant. The other thing is, I listened to this guy out of Florida in the early in the mornings. Well, it'd be early. It'd be 6 a.m. your time, but yeah, wherever you are, I mean, whatever, on the East Coast. But this guy, he lives not too far away from Mar-a-Lago. All right, he does a radio show out of that particular area, but he covers the entire state, almost the entire state of Florida. Well, he's been to Mar-a-Lago several times doing, you know, things on YouTube by Mar-a-Lago. Now, when he did a thing from Mar-a-Lago on the day that Trump was going to be leaving to go to, I believe it was Atlanta, to get mugshotted and all that stuff, right? And what he said as Trump was leaving, he saw Trump. Trump didn't have a care in the world. All the confidence in the world, he didn't have a care in the world, you know. This was him. This was at the time when Trump was going to get his mugshot taken and being booked into that jail in Atlanta. So that's your point. Trump doesn't have a care in the world. He's confidence to the point of overconfidence at times, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm telling you, there's no Hamlet in Donald Trump. And like I said, these people, the sophisticates amongst us, you know, and look, I there are great world leaders who are not at all like Donald Trump. In fact, there are some great world leaders who are the antithesis of Donald Trump. I'm just saying that Donald Trump is unique in his characteristics that also happen to a great extent conform to those of the United States. The United States is and has always been a can-do country. Most Americans believe, even those who are cynical about the United States, believe that if people in the United States put their mind to something and decide they really want to do it and pull more or less together, the United States is going to do it. Donald Trump absolutely believes that. There ain't no doubt about it whatsoever. What you see is what you get. You are not looking at a shred of disingenuous in this man. Like I said, there is no Hamlet in him. Man, I don't think I've ever seen a politician more self-confident than him ever, probably in the history of American politics. I'm not even saying that's necessarily good. I'm saying with Donald Trump, it's real.
He comes from the world, from the real world. He wasn't in American history, the only two times a civilian, non-political civilian, was able to become president was Lincoln and him, and the problem is, it ain't the problem, but for the political world it is, they touched on a real problem in our culture, and they had a solution, and the two parties just keep us constantly moving through something, and wherever we end up, we don't know, it's a mystery, but it never stops, you know? That they came up with a solution, and this is why they got to stop Trump like they had to stop Lincoln, you know?
Yeah. Well, Nathan, it goes a little bit deeper than that now, because that news media is ratchet. I'm going to give you an example. This happened. You just had this female tried to burn down Martin Luther King's house there in Atlanta. Okay.
As soon as they heard that, all the activists, the BLM, they called their friends up, y'all put your clothes on, get ready. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. The news never said it was a black female. Everybody was waiting for them to say it was a white male, MAGA, white supremacist, and all that crap. They never mentioned, from what I looked at or read, that it was a black female.
Yeah, they were all drooling for nothing. They were all salivating over, like, put it out there, put it out there. Is it a white mega man? You know, like, they're salivating for it. Nope. And, never mind. It was a black woman, you know.
It was white people that prevented it from being burned down. They're the ones who spotted it, observed it, and intervened.
You know, here's the thing.
You're
not supposed
to mention that, Sarge.
You know what's crazy, and I've always...
I can't help it.
And you know, if it wasn't for Lincoln, I don't know if we would still be dealing with the racial issue at a deeper level than we are now. But what blows my mind is whenever Martin Luther King Jr. was running around doing his speeches. Okay, you know what? He was doing speeches not in the black community. He was doing it in the white community, and it was wealthy people that could afford $500 plate. I wouldn't spend that much money on a plate of food. But it was white people that was saying, we agree with you, and here's my money. And yet we still keep this black and white thing going, you know? It just, that's the media, like you said, the media.
And to your point, Bianchi, when you talk about they don't want to report if a black person does something bad versus a white person, think about this. That guy that ran his car into that parade, what was it? He was a black guy, right?
Yeah.
He was a black guy. So... And they didn't want to report that because it didn't, again, it does, if it's a black person, it doesn't fit their narrative. They want, their narrative is white people bad,
don't start a riot.
Good, right? That's the narrative.
Yeah, and that guy, he was zigzagging from one side of the street to the other trying to hit people. It's barely missed the young
girl. You know what? And I think we need to stop using the term narrative and replace it with agenda, because it is more than just a narrative at this point. It is a flat-out, full-blown agenda. You know, it's like saying narrative kind of minimizes the real, what's really going on, and it is an agenda. It is a planned agenda.
That's
true, but you got to remember that is true. But you got to remember the narrative served the agenda. Your narrative served to ease the way for you to accept the agenda. That's why they use them so goddamn much.
Yep.
Yeah, it's this twisting and normalization of words, and I don't even think people even realize that it's really happening. You know, like that article I read about, you know, the study of the women with the periods, and, you know, but they didn't say women. People, you know, there are people that identify as female that were studied. It's like, what, you know? And they're normalizing this stuff. It's like, you know, how many times when you're reading an article like that, you know, where it's just so normal now, it doesn't even raise a red flag. When it's supposed to be reporting on a scientific study that came out, and they're reporting that it was, you know, 1,137 people that identified as female, saying that their menstruation cycles were screwed up after, you know, getting the COVID shot, right? And it's like, okay, come on now. That's this normalization of language. And then, you know, and I just love it when people argue against, like, when we say the Second Amendment, terms like well-regulated, the term militia, You know, those terms meant different things back then that, you know, the way we understand those words now is not the same as it was back in the writing of the Second Amendment. You know, well-regulated meant something entirely different than what you've been led to believe and what's been normalized. We're seeing the same thing with science. We're seeing the same thing with this, you know, transgender stuff and pronoun acceptance and all this other stuff, even in scientific studies. Like, you can't put out a scientific study without being, you know, gender politically correct. And it's absolutely asinine.
Which is even crazy because it's incorrect. So, but we got to say put correct.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. And we talk about narrative versus, you know, agenda, but again, it all comes down to wording of things, you know, and how they choose to word things, you know, how they choose to construct their sentences or ask their questions or whatever it is. And it's like, right, and it's like, it goes back to this guy named George Lakoff, who's a linguist who worked for one of these colleges or whatever, but he's a linguist, you know, and he did a book on this stuff and how to, you know, how they wording things, how words mean things and how wording things in such a way you can get people to agree with something that they would normally not agree with, you know. And that's how the Democrats have been doing this stuff for years now. Is that they'll word when you watch CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, whatever, even Fox does it to some extent. They'll sit there and they'll word it in such a way that you say, I'll think about that, right? I don't watch much news anymore I figured that out long ago that's what they do is they word things in such a way that make you say even though
well you know what it is it's spellbinding it's spellbinding
yep.
you know
yep.
when
yeah, you know what?
Which is do curses
you know
and that kind of thing when you know the Satanists that worship Satan it's spellbinding. You know, the repeated, changing of things, the repeated lies, repeat it. You know, it's spellbinding. That's what it's doing. It's like mass, you know, spellbinding on a mass population in a way. And I will compare it also to, you know, this changing of language that's happened where everybody wants to defend democracy. You know, they want democracy. We got to defend our democracy here in America. They're undermining our democracy here in America. And it's like democracy has been strategically replaced, you know, replaced the word republic. Now, if you say restore our republic, like Joe Gibson says, you know, we need to preserve our republic. We need to fight for our republic. And we need to fight for other countries to be a republic. We can't. Then we're right-stream domestic terrorists, you know, if we actually use the correct term, which is republic. We are not a democracy.
Yeah, I just,
we're a republic.
I just recently heard somebody say our democratic republic system, you know, so they're getting away from – I guess they're making the case that we're a two-party system. But usually it's democracy.
Yeah, well, look,
democracy.
They can do that all they want. They can try to say, look, we're a republic with certain democratic elements, not the other way around. There are certain democratic elements there, but it's substantially and essentially a republic, a representative republic. And we got to keep hammering that home day after day. You know, when the people were trying to sell us rocks as pets, they never tried to pretend they weren't rocks. But nowadays, it's like they'll take a look at something, oh, that's not a rock. It really is a living, breathing animal. If they've just got that rock today, that's probably what they tell you.
Yeah, but it's all just changing the mind, changing the behavior, you know. It's just like, you know, in that, this is kind of crazy, but it's real simple, but it's in the Bible verse, says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, you become somebody different when you start thinking in a certain way other than the way you used to think. And but here's what I have a problem with is whenever you decide what I need to be thinking and you don't give me a choice, you know. I'm like, no, I can't go with that. Let me think, challenge my thinking, and don't make me disagree with you or make me agree with you.
Yeah, don't force it on me, you know. Convince me, you know. And it's one of those things, too, where, you know, we are being manipulated to react emotionally to all these things, right? You know, our media, you know, that report the news to us, they are very good actors and actresses. And, you know, they really are. That's what they really are. They're, you know, they are reading their lines and they are acting it. They put on the tears when needed to add emotion to a story. And then, like, you know, 30 seconds later, you know, they can talk about an upbeat story and get all happy. And it's like, you know, there's no transition. It's like an on and off switch, you know. But that's what I mean about spellbinding. And, you know, again, I don't usually get too religious, but when we look at it from an evil versus good perspective, this is all spellbinding. All these mind control experiments and things, you know, that have gone on, you know, we thought the Nazis were bad. Well, our own government has been even worse when it comes to experiments on mind control. And, you know, it thing from subliminal messages to even, you know, Disney, if you ever watched one of the videos breaking down all the symbols that are in the background in Disney movies, that, you know, it's also subliminal. It's not something that you're conscious of, but, you know, you're seeing it anyway. You know, everything from phallic symbols to Satanist symbols to, you know, pagan symbols, you name it. It's all spellbinding. It's really all spellbinding. That's what mind control really is. And that's what they're doing to us. And it's, you know, there's a cabal at hand that is doing this for a reason. Our government is a part of it, but it isn't just our own government. We're pretty goddamn good at it, you know, at this point, but we're not the only ones, you know. We're just one string of a puppet of the overall picture.
I remember in 1982 where I was at, because what somebody told me made so much sense, I didn't even have to write it down to try to memorize it. He said, don't worry about what other people think, because most people don't think. And I thought that sounded like a pretty good cliche, but I've looked over the years. It's like, you know, this guy's sitting here trying to tell me something he hasn't reasoned through. He just heard it, and now he's passing it on. And I've seen that so true, and it was really neat. That's so true. We see that in the media. I got a kick out of Fox. Back
I don't know
in the day,
still,
Fox used to say fair and
at
balanced.
Least I was showing that Joe Gibson was still on, but I don't know if he has any comments about the spellbinding portion of things.
Well, you know, on
showing
the
he's still on.
Fox thing, on
still
the
here.
Fox News, on that Fox News thing, I remember you used to hear in fair and balanced, and yet, a lot of religious people listen to it, that watch Fox, and they really believed in it. And I was wondering how they missed it. This was the one show that was giving us the dysfunctional families sitcoms, you know. And it's like I never heard them say anything about that. They just thought, I guess, on the politics that they were right. Well, that Modern Family, that was it. Yeah, and it's like, wait a minute, this is everything they oppose, but I guess because of the politics, they were just kind of like accepting it. We've got to be conscious about what we see.
It wasn't just Modern Family. It didn't start with Modern Family. It started with, in the late 80s, with Married with Children.
Yeah.
That was a Fox deal, too, and that was the
dysfunctional family.
I loved that show, by the way. I loved Married with Children. I thought, you know, there is no way they could make Married with Children now. It's another one of those shows, but if they tried to make it today, it just would not work. They'd be canceled in a heartbeat. I do have another Skype number raising their hand. So I'm going ahead and bringing on, hey, Skype number, you are on. Which, who do we got?
President.
Can you hear me?
Ah, John Doe. Hey there.
That's
wild. Are you raising
your
hand? Because you know we're going to go into no man's land here pretty soon. I actually
should
unmute Cinny as well. Cinnamon, I'm going to unmute you on my end before the switchboard goes down. So just stay muted on your end, but feel free to chime in at any time. So I am going to unmute you on my end. 3, 2, 1. And hey, John Doe, glad to have you join us. I know that you've been kind of hanging out on the switchboard just listening. Comments might you have?
Yeah.
I want to interrupt the flow. I was late about an hour to it, and I've just been listening to try to catch up on what everybody was talking about. But I'll just bow out for a moment and let Mike jump in. He's been trying to jump in, and then I'll get in a little bit and go from there.
By the way, I want to ask a big question here about Joe Biden. Is Joe Biden a foreign agent? Because if he is, then he's –
I believe so, and I think he has been for a long time.
He's in trouble with FARA, the Foreign Agent Registration Act, because it's okay to be a foreign agent, but you have to be – you have to be registered as one, okay? That if he's not registered, he's in violation of the FARA, the Foreign Registration Act.
Mitt Romney says it's all a lie. It's not true.
And we can totally trust what Romney says. You know, what Romney says is golden. Not
really
that corrupt motherfucker. Anyway,
it's on people. People of Utah don't even
like
him.
You know, here, let me clarify that. Joe Biden would not be a foreign agent. His son would be, because his son would be lobbying. A foreign agent is one who lobbies and pays the bribes and all that stuff, you know, to the people who
making deals with other governments.
Yes.
Well, that would put Mike Pence in that, because remember the stuff going on in Ukraine? It was Mike Pence that went over after they said, you're not going to get your money. They bribed them. Until you drop this prosecutor off out of the system. And it was Mike Pence that went over to make sure that everything got taken care of. But we don't get to hear that part. We just get to hear that the Democrats are bad.
But here's the deal, though. The thing about Joe Biden being a foreign agent, that goes back to the whole him having these documents at his house where – anybody could come in and see these documents and come out, right? And they don't keep logs at his house in Delaware, at his houses in Delaware, whatever. They don't keep logs with people that come in and out, or the logs are private. They, you know, that type of stuff. So anybody could walk in there and walk into that damn garage and see whatever papers that are strewn all over the floor, you know, in that garage, and either take them out or take pictures of them or photocopy them or whatever, and then there you go. And if it's the Chinese, it's the Chinese. If it's the Russians, it's the Russians. It's, you know, Ukrainians, whatever. Anybody could go in that damn house and, you know, and see those documents.
Let me try and straighten out the foreign representative. Now, you said Mike Pence is because he went to Ukraine. Well,
yeah.
Did Mike Pence, when he went to Ukraine, did he represent Ukraine or did he represent the United States?
He represented
because you don't have you
Biden.
Don't have to. Huh?
He went to represent the Obama Biden administration on the prosecutor being dropped, or they don't get their $1 billion of military aid.
Yeah, well, does not make him a foreign representative. Now, had he have been over here in the United, if he was in the United States talking to Biden and Obama on behalf of Ukraine, that would make him a foreign agent. Okay? We send guys over or we hire people over in other countries to represent our government or our points of view does not mean that they have to register as a foreign agent in our country, because they are representing our country in another country. Now, if you are in the United States and you're getting paid money to lobby for another nation, then you have to register as a foreign agent. Okay?
That's right, and that's what the accusation is, that because he's getting paid. You know, the 10% for the big guy, right? That whole thing about
Mike, back up. We were talking about Mike Pence. We weren't talking about Hunter Biden Biden.
I was talking about Biden being in trouble with this thing. That's what I was talking about. I was talking about Biden being in trouble.
Hunter Biden is the one that will be in trouble for not registering as a foreign agent. Joe does not, because he is in office. Hunter would be lobbying his father to do something for Ukraine or China or something like that. Does not make Biden a foreign agent. Okay? What it does do
yeah,
is
as an elected
ties,
representative,
ties,
he's a U.S. representative, not a foreign agent. And so, but his son, however, not being elected into office, would have to register as a foreign agent in order to, like, broker all these deals and work, you know.
Right.
The thing
with Joe Biden would be he was taking bribes and providing a service for somebody else. Okay.
Yeah.
If I was to go give Joe $1,000, okay, and tell him, I want you to do X, and Joe does X, he is guilty of taking a bribe. I am guilty of bribing him. Okay. Now, he is not a foreign agent. He is a elected representative that has taken a bribe and is working against the country. He's not a foreign agent.
Obama, Biden, and Mike Pence are guilty of, well, they're not guilty yet, but they have committed bribery. I don't know if they fall under agent.
They're not guilty of bribery. They're guilty of accepting bribes. Okay.
I sent Lori a three minute video of him admitting it.
But also,
can I jump
also,
in?
We got to go back to
yeah.
Joe Biden's also He's also guilty of extortion.
Yeah, let John Doe say something. John Doe wanted to talk like 10 minutes ago, let him comment here.
No, that's okay.
Go
finish
ahead.
Your statement, Mike, and then I'll go right after you.
Joe Biden is guilty of extortion. Because remember,
okay,
you don't fire this prosecutor, you don't get the money. And son of a bitch, he got fired, right? So Joe Biden is guilty of extortion.
Well, here's the thing. I kind of am piggybacking on that same idea, Mike, in the sense that all of this stuff that goes through our Congress are the people working in government that's using the benefit of we the people's property, the system governing, to bribe the American citizens to vote for them. That's why they let all these illegal immigrants in order to bribe them to vote for them. And then that's why they want to pay off all of these student loan debt so they can bribe the people to vote for them. It's a bribery scam, and nobody looks at it that way, and it's hard to explain. And not, you know, I just wonder what you guys think in that regards. Back to you.
Yeah.
I smell a big fat rat, John Doe.
Let me tell you something. This whole indictment is like a Voldemort indictment. You know that guy in what's that guy? He who shall not be named. That's what it is. It don't say nothing about how or why millions of dollars got sent to Hunter. I mean, the indictment is like an attempt to evade. I mean, there are three omissions in the indictment that shield the whole crux of the matter about the payments. One, the Burisma Ukrainian money. The special counsel only indicts the tax evasion occurred recently. That's caused a long investigation in honor. For whatever reason, mysteriously allowed the statute of limitations to expire on the most controversial shit that started in 2014 when Burisma paid all that money to Hunter. And then he got the recent testimony from the IRS whistleblowers, and they said it wasn't just an accident, remember? They suggested it strongly in their testimony. That they were stonewalled. The Justice Department did everything they could to reject any charges against Biden. And if you explore those Ukrainian payments about Hunter's peddling the influence, it would have shown his daddy's move to force Ukrainians to fire the prosecutor by holding back $1 billion in aid for the country. And we still don't know why David Weiss allowed the statute of limitations to run out. But look, how did this money get paid in the first place? Hunter, the foreign agent. No indictment for him being a foreign agent. They got Menendez. They got Manafort, didn't they? We know why they're in charge on a referral. It's obvious as the noses on our faces.
One thing about John Doe is that I always noticed, though, John Doe, and not to single you out or anything, is you're the voice here where you always assume that the government has no authority, they don't have no power, they have no position, they can't make any decisions unless every single citizen agrees with what they do, you know? And because otherwise, if they make any type of policy or law and you disagree with it, then it's unconstitutional and it violates your Bill of Rights and your pursuit of happiness. It doesn't work that way. There's no government in the world or that will ever work that way. You know, so I mean, I don't understand what you like. Sometimes you say these things, so I'm trying to get inside your head here. What do you think government should be or do?
No, the point that I'm always trying to make is that every individual citizen wants to live their pursuit of happiness. We have to have a process to help determine what's just and true about whether what they want to do is actually accurate. And then, in other words, if you're going to use the government as a weapon to force your agenda down my throat, I have every right
weapon.
Of self-exercise, self-defense to stop that.
It's not a weapon, but the government has a right to make decisions. It has a right to make decisions.
Joe,
you make the decision when you elected the representative.
No, when you elect the representatives, they represent the people. Whether okay, and those people that are representing the people are not going
to
make every single person happy. And so they can't.
See, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. You're from just our conversation, just this last minute. You're actually positioned supports bullying, coercion, duress.
No, it doesn't.
It does too. If you're going to deny me my let me finish. If you're going to deny me my right to have my will mutually and reciprocally included, then you're in breach of contract law. You've dethroned freedom of contract, freedom of association, freedom of conscience under the bus, due process, good faith bargaining, good faith negotiation.
How am I violating all those rights by making decisions by being elected to represent the people and what they need?
Comment here. Joe Gibson, you said that the government has the right to do this. No, the government has no rights.
No, they don't have any rights.
They have the authority of the people. People have rights.
Once they're elected, they have it.
We give them the authority to pass laws that we agree with. So every single day someone's doing the job.
Let me ask you a question.
Government does not have the right to do a fucking thing. It has authorization.
Let me ask you a question.
That's what I mean about using certain terminology. This is what I'm saying.
No, using certain terminology.
Government, we cannot be normalizing people's thoughts that the government has the right to do something. No. People have the right. The government has authorization. That's all.
And they're elected to do a job.
Give the government certain authorization while safeguarding.
And they're elected to do a job. And they're elected to do a job. And they're not.
And
they can't be.
I'm not arguing with you in any other sense other than the terminology that you're using. And I want to correct you because you are on the campaign trail.
Let me tell you what I meant.
The government has rights. They have authorization. Only people have rights.
I heard that three times now. I'm trying to explain to you what I meant.
I'm just asking you to change your terminology
Let Joe explain.
Once an individual is elected in his or her district or to any type of whether or certain branch of government,